Legal Legends 5. Memory Transcript Fenric Fenn the Lawyer Extraordinaire. Date Standardized Human Time November 13, 2136. Searle had a good few things to learn on the job, of that I was certain. She had no sense of when to be honest and when to misdirect, opting for passive solutions in every situation. I couldn't blame her, that was how I was taught back in my tail guard days, but she needed to understand that some people need a firm push. Most people, really. Her eyes were narrowed at me as I finished my display, bemused by my attempt at humor. Another thing she needed to learn is how to loosen up. People generally tended to be empathetic, and such an uptight professional attitude only served to make them nervous. Nervous people were only good for the courtrooms, not for pre-trial interrogations. They backed away from the door as we both waited for an answer. It was faint, but I could hear what sounded like footsteps headed in our direction. Eventually, the door peeked open, revealing only a sliver of a grey Venel's face. What is it? W-O-U. Good, Paul. I began stepping forward and displaying greetings with my features. We're here to discuss with you some important matters. May we come in? The Venel on the other side shut the door slightly more, keeping only the bare minimum to see us with. I don't know if I'm not supposed to let any or. Splendid. I responded, not waiting for her answer. I could tell that she was hesitant to let us in, but we simply didn't have time to waste in placating her supposed worries. As we approached the door, I had noticed there were multiple cameras in the ceiling of this hallway. That naturally raised the question of why there was only a single video of the incident on file. I stuck my paw between the door and its frame and slid it open with all my strength. She obviously hadn't expected such a brazen move, as she recoiled in surprise at our entrance. It won't take more than a moment, I assure you. Now, where would you rather us sit? I, the woman, stammered, her ears pressed flat against her skull. You're not allowed to be in here. You need to get out before we all get in trouble. I'm afraid that simply isn't an option, I stated, stepping into the room without further hesitation. Searle wore her concern on her features but followed me in any ways. Taking up most of the dimly lit room was a workstation flanked by dozens of monitors receiving live video from all across the sides of the branch of the Zeno Medical Grand Complex, including others on this very floor. If there's any information that was missed, this is where it will be. Please excuse the intrusion, Searle apologized to the stammering security staff, but my associate is correct. We're working on something important and we need your help. What's your name? I don't, she swallowed and looked between the two of us, judging if she should cooperate or not. If not, I had my methods of finding information that people didn't want me to know. She quickly grabbed a mug that was sitting on her desk and raised it to her lips, draining its contents. With the drink empty, she took a breath and turned her attention back to Searle. My name is Camera. It's good to meet you, Camera, Searle answered politely with a precise flick of her ears. I'm Searle, this is my associate Fenric. Please, we only need a few moments of your time. Your information could make all the difference. Camera still seemed nervous, but she flicked her tail and remotely closed the door. She set down the mug and grabbed what looked to be a second cup that had been on the desk, taking a cautious sip from it. The scent that wafted from it tasted slightly bitter. Hey, alright. I'm assuming that you're here because of what H happened a few pauses ago. I flicked my ears affirmatively, paying careful attention to her body language as I spoke. Yes, that would be correct. Hopefully you've already submitted the basics to the court records. She flicked her ears tensely, too tensely for such a mundane situation. I didn't quite know the stresses she was under as part of her job, but I recognized the behavior. She had something tied just like everyone else. The trouble is, what is it and where? Why, yes, I have. I turned over all the relevant F-files to them already, so I'm afraid I won't have much to say that why you don't already know, she answered, sipping her beverage frequently and glancing at the screens occasionally as she spoke. Considering that rather obvious tilt, I was able to piece together that whatever she was hiding had to do with the cameras. That certainly makes her all the more interesting. Searle bowed her head in sympathy beside me. I'm sorry you had to go through that, she says. I'm certain being interrogated twice for the same tragedy must be difficult for you. Counting such horrible events, I can't imagine. Camera's expression relaxed slightly at Searle's condolences as she took a long drink of her bitter drink, presenting an interesting opportunity for me. Out of the corner of my eyes, I spotted a water dispenser next to a secondary console, while a strange-looking brewing machine sat atop it, right in easy reach of the camera control console. Perfect. If I could get Searle to handle the interrogation, I could try to check the usage history and terminal logs for any sign of a cover-up. Making a show of yawning, I feigned exhaustion. Oh, I'm really missing my break core. I'm going to get some water quickly if you want to take over. Searle looked over at me, but I knew that she was perceptive enough to know that I wasn't being truthful. She looked me up and down with suspicion before hesitantly responding. Certainly. We can take our break core after this if you'd like. That'd be appreciated, I replied as I stood from my seat. I noticed that camera seemed more and more apprehensive the closer my proximity to the terminal became. I made sure not to do anything to tip her off, instead retrieving a cup and filling it with water. I turned around and slowly sipped on it, allowing the relief of feeling the cool liquid wash down my throat to show on my features. It was good to base deceptions in a foundation of truth I have found. Seemingly satisfied with my ruse, camera slowly turned her attention back to Searle, still making certain to look at me every once in a while to ensure I didn't do anything. Now I just need to wait for the proper time. It was difficult, I admit. When the authorities came and asked me to give what I could, I didn't like how little I had to give them. I remember watching the footage back to ensure I hadn't missed him. Your cooperation in this case has been a great help, I assure you, Searle assured her, swaying her tail reassuringly. I noticed that camera's attention was fawning more and more on my associate, so I started to inch my way over to the console, taking small sips all the while. Do you remember anything that you saw, any detail that you thought too specific to tell the courts? Camera appeared to grow even more nervous, her attention fully focused away as she tried to come up with something to say. Seizing the chance, I quickly set the water down and began to navigate through the options as I heard her voice again. And nothing much, but I did see that she had that mark on her head. I asked the doctors about it, and apparently it's a type of birthmark that only occurs when a caution has to be birthed through surgery due to complications. Something about early exposure to atmospheric pressure, I think. I'm not a doctor, if you couldn't tell. As camera rambled on about information we already knew, I focused my efforts on finding out what we didn't. The terminal wasn't password protected, thankfully, but the clutter on the desktop was absurd. It was nearly impossible to find what I was looking for, but I knew the terminology people used to hide their undesirable files. Once I saw a folder labeled report logs, I clicked on it. Nobody in their right mind kept these things remaining on the system after submitting them, and I knew camera would be no exception. Inside were a myriad of video files, but strangely they were completely separate file types than the .vns files most companies on Venel Prime used for reports and unlabeled by any timestamps to. So whatever these were, they were definitely not something that was meant to be seen. Searle's voice sounded from the table as I decided on a file to select, considering which one would be our ticket to find out what really happened. Thank you for providing. As I was about to click on one of the files, I noticed Searle's attention snap towards me and her ear roots became rigid. Noticing her reaction, camera turned to face me and her fur stood on end. No. She cried, but I had already clicked to open it, curious as to what secret she might be hiding. The file started playing and it's a video of a fluffy, seemingly juvenile animal playing with a ball of colored twine. This is what she was hiding. Camera's demeanor changed immediately as the video played upon the main central screen, her chest rising and falling quickly as she went wide-eyed with stress. As the video continued, it became clear as to why. The animal had pacing forward-facing eyes, a predator. But this didn't add up. Why would they have a video of a predator? And one that was rather clearly attacking a ball of twine at that. The fact it was playing was also a clear indication that it wasn't behaving like wild predators. Whatever it was clearly domesticated. Either this was a glimpse into what the Hensa might have looked like, or this was a video of a domesticated predator from Earth. That's certainly something to hide on this planet. Vemric, what did you do? Searle questioned me aggravatedly. We're here to ask her questions, not go snooping around on her workstation. That's just completely unprofessional. Look at what you've done to the poor woman. She pointedly gestures to Camrat, who had slid to the ground as she continued to hyperventilate. Yes, but unprofessionalism is often the only path to finding what you need, I countered, stepping aside to let Searle see the video. She recoiled slightly at the sight of the non-sapient predator, and I used her hesitation to continue. This is but a sidetrack. Once I find the usage logs, we'll know for certain if she's telling the truth. We have absolutely zero reason to believe she was lying in the first place. Searle incredulously replied, you can't just go snooping through somebody's personal files without consent. What does this even prove? That she's hiding things and has been unwilling to tell us everything she knows thus far. This place should have had multiple camera angles of the hallway, but we only have the one. That in and of itself is ample reason to be suspicious, I explained to her. Usually I wouldn't be so forthcoming with my reasoning, but Searle simply didn't seem to get what was right in front of her. If she is to work with me, she needs to understand how these things work. Now, if you wish to comfort her, do so. I will be figuring out what all she hasn't told us. Searle glared stalkers at me before she knelt down and tried to offer her support to the panicking Venlil behind me. I paid them no mind as I managed to navigate towards the right application, entering the security system. I was immediately proven right, there were several cameras that should have been active both in the hallway and throughout the most likely escape route the culprit would have used to escape. They were labeled as down for maintenance in the labels, but I didn't believe that for a second. I navigated towards the usage log confident I would find deletion codes for those exact cameras either before or shortly after the crime. It wouldn't be the first time someone tried a trick like that, and no matter how much of a persona camera tried to put on, she was in the perfect position to delete those videos. Now to prove it. What the spay? The usage logs were completely clean, no record of any deletion occurring from this terminal whatsoever. They tried to show all command types, nothing. They tried to expose any hidden commands, nothing. I even checked the device's command history itself for evidence of one being sent from there, again nothing. It was like the recordings had never happened in the first place. This couldn't be right. I wasn't one to misjudge someone like this. I knew she was involved in this somehow. She had to be. Right. I heard coughing. Against my better judgment, I tore my attention away from my pursuit to see what the problem was. Searle had camera curled in her arms, tears streaming down the dishonest Fennel's face. She was coughing relentlessly from the mucus, barely able to keep it from running from the sides of her mouth. Searle was leaning over and placing a comforting paw on camera's shoulder, her expression one of deep concern. Does she have a clue of what I found? I need to press her for answers before she thinks of a lie. Camera, I need you to tell me what you did with the missing security videos, I sternly stated, kneeling down to her level. My request barely elicited a response from the guilty party, her mental anguish at being caught in the act more than apparent. I had no sympathy for associates to murder, so I wouldn't let her feeble attempt dissuade me. Camera, I'm not. She exploded, bleating in a loud wail as tears freely gushed from her eyes. She was babbling, trying to say something, but unable to get a word out from her sudden sobs. As I staggered back in surprise, Searle turned an eye to glare at me. Fenric, that's bracking enough. She shouted, baring her teeth threateningly. The conviction gave me pause, one she exploited in a startling similar manner to me. Don't you see that she's a wreck as is? The last thing she needs is you accusing her of abetting a murderer. Did you even find what you were looking for? I remained silent, knowing I hadn't. Searle correctly interpreted my silence and spread her lips further. Like I thought. Or just torturing her for no reason. Unless you want to be escorted out of here by curious human security, I'd suggest you back up, sit down, and for the love of the stars, shut the speak up. I was left speechless from her outburst and somewhat deflated from my lack of results. My mind began to wander and think up new possibilities. Had I in fact misidentified camera's guilt? Every time I had charred a witness regarding details like that, they always cracked under the pressure. This time though, it had only served to shatter camera beyond a useful state. We sat in that room for who knows how long, camera slowly calming until all that was left were soft whimpers and whines coming from the security woman. Searle treated her with a tenderness unbefitting of what I thought to be her role in this, but my conviction in that assessment was faltering quickly. Finally, Searle spoke audibly to camera as her whimpers settled. Are you going to be okay? Please, camera stuttered, struggling to control her still erratic breathing. D-don't-t-t-l-l-l-a-n-e-o-1. I don't w-n-t to I'll lose my job. She started to deteriorate again, but a few comforting purrs from Searle helped quell that urge as I sank a bit further into my seat to try and not contribute more to the scene. We're not going to tell anyone. That wasn't even our goal to begin with. I'm so sorry for how my associate acted this port. It was never our intention to distress you like that, Searle soothed, not even bothering to shoot a withering glare at me as she apologized for my actions. I felt my ears flatten partially in sympathy, my assurance in my skills fully failing. I just terrorized an innocent woman, didn't I? Cat videos, camera suddenly admitted, surprising me with her forthcoming. Searle remained steady, encouraging her to continue non-verbally. I saw Dick W watching one on H's phone an and I thought it was cute even though it's a predator. She had to force that last word out, acting like she confessed to the murder herself. Though given what planet she's on, some might feel it even worse than that. I wanted to SE more there, so he gave me a C code to bypass EO56. I downloaded as many as I could so I could W watch them when it was slow. I know it's predatory, if you W want to report me then, and she swallowed deeply before blurting out the rest of her sentence. Then just do it already. Despite her show of bravado, I could tell she was deeply opposed to the idea. I didn't know if it was guilt or latent kindness that inspired me to act, but I stepped from the table and made my way over to her. On the way, I grabbed what was left of her beverage, its bitter taste wafting over my tongue as I approached to Searle's disdain. I knelt down in front of camera and meekly offered the beverage to her. Searle looked between me and the cup and her expression towards me softened. Camera took the cup eagerly and immediately downed the rest, panting and clearing her throat from the sudden intake. Thank you, Fenric. Is that your name? I flicked my ears affirmatively, the tip of her tail starting to waggle in response. However, that didn't last before she started to look down again. Is something else wrong? Searle asked, tilting her head gently. camera began to shiver, but upon looking both of us in the eye, she sighed and went limp as if she no longer had the energy to resist. And no, T, there's something you both should know. T, that I didn't tell the courts. We're here to listen, I offered, planting myself in the floor in front of her. It was a far less dignified position than I was used to, but it was clear to me now that following Searle's example would prove more beneficial than my usual tactics. Alas, pause, I found a note on my desk. W written in Arnold. When I translated it, it said T that they came knew about the V videos. T, there was a port driver next to it, they said that if I didn't plug it in and I'll leave the room for a claw th they'd tell everyone. My ears rose as I realized what that had to mean. If the note was written in Arnold, it's almost certain to have been a caution that wrote it, making the situation even worse for any lassie. A could tell Searle was equally surprised, but she maintained her calming demeanor. Do you know what it did? No, camera answered guiltily, I just didn't want to lose my job, so I did as the note said. When I came back, nothing seemed to be wrong there, so I just tried to forget about it. I thought you might have written it when you found the V videos, she addressed me, the strained whistle escaping her lips. I couldn't help but whistle in amusement at her assumption. I'm a man of many talents, camera, but I'm afraid that I can only write in Fegum and Ventscript. Do you still have the note and the port drive with you? Those could be invaluable pieces of evidence. Camera started to squirm, distancing herself from Searle. She let her move to a comfortable distance, not attempting to stop or restrain her despite the fact she could very well try to run. I can't fathom why she's so trusting. Regardless, my way had failed, so her way would have to do. T, the note I said to dispose of B, both it and the drive, once whatever it did was done, of course whoever did this would want to cover their sin. B, but I didn't do it. My ear shot up in surprise. Even under threat of scandal and job termination, she disobeyed the orders of whoever wrote the note. If I weren't sure of my failure to judge her character, I was now. Perhaps I got a bit wrapped up in myself. That's fantastic. Searle exclaimed. Where is it? Can we have it? It's not here, camera explained. I didn't want to risk leaving it here for whoever left the note to find out, so I took it back to my apartment. I can get it for you, B, but not now. I know they arrested that caution girl, B, but given the timing. I don't want to take any chances. I am sure you understand. That I did. This case was rapidly spiraling beyond what I had ever thought possible. The level of subterfuge at play here eliminated any possibility that this was a spur-of-the-moment action. This murder has to be premeditated. Adu's eye assured her, keeping my voice low and calm despite my racing mind. Is there a spot where you could meet us for an exchange? I can compensate you financially for your troubles. T, that won't be necessary. I want to bring them T to justice too. Am I sorry I was such a coward? Camera whistled in a deprecating tone. Weakest their species, right? It broke my heart to hear the sentiment the Federation drilled into all our heads resurfacing, even after proof of their treachery to the very forces of nature was revealed. I shook my head, uncaring whether or not the gesture was seen as predatory. Absolutely not. You were concerned for your job and your reputation. There is nothing wrong with that. You told us the truth now, and that's all that matters. I couldn't care less about the videos. Karma's eyes sparkled with confused hope, with even Searle regarding me with a surprised expression on her features. That was well said, Verici commented to me as if she could barely believe the words coming from her own mouth. Thank you, I answered earnestly before standing myself up and extending my paw to camera. She had a moment's hesitation before she took it, and I helped her rise to her feet. Searle rose on her own accord, all three of us obviously spent from the interaction that occurred here. That break claw comment is becoming more truthful by the second. Once we all had a chance to breathe, camera turned and removed a pot from the machine sitting atop the water cooler. She poured herself a new cup of the steaming beverage and took a sip, her tail wagging immediately afterwards. Upon her noticing my interest, she swallowed her mouthful and offered me the enclosed pot. Sorry, W, would you like a cup too? What is it? I asked. I had a theory given a supposedly close relationship with Dick, but I didn't want to jump to any more incorrect conclusions this poor. Oh, tits out, it's coffee, the human drink, camera admitted weakly. A cup of the stuff can get you through a whole claw. Dick recommended I try some after a long shift, and I've been hooked on it ever since, she explained with a soft whistle. Given how much this pour had taken out of me already, I flicked my ears affirmatively and took the pot. Both Searle and I grabbed a cup and I poured us both a serving. After handing the pot back to camera to replace it in the machine, Searle and I both took an exploratory sip. Oh, that's bitter. I had to stop myself from expelling the drink from my mouth as an overwhelming bitterness overtook my taste buds. The drink was served hot, not nearly hot enough to harm us, but enough to exacerbate the problematic taste. I managed to down zip before going for another so as not to seem rude. The overwhelming flavor didn't hit quite as hard, but neither Searle nor I were able to get back half our cups each. Wow, that's her, Searle commented, setting down the rest of her drink with a grimace on her face. I Zelth can see why you like it. It's a little too bitter for me. To my surprise, Camera's eyes narrowed at us. Too bitter. HMPH, I had hoped at least one of you would have some taste. She quickly retrieved Searle's cup and swallowed the remainder in a single gulp. She eyed me as well, then sensing that words weren't necessary, set down mine as well. Note to self, don't insult coffee in front of her. We appreciate the pick-me-up, but I think I'll stick to tea, I answered honestly as she gulped down my abandoned portion in turn. We still have the matter of that port drive and note to discuss. When can you get it to us? Alright, Camus said, her demeanor returning to normal after our perceived infractions towards coffee were dealt with. I just started my work clause A and I won't have time during my UPC coming break clause, but I should be able to meet you somewhere during my 2 clause arrest. Where would you like me to go? May I? I asked, holding out my pad. Camera stood confused for a moment before realization flashed in her eyes and she tapped her mini pad against mine to transfer contacts. I'll send you a meeting place once you're on your second work clause. Meet us there, and for all that's good, don't plug that drive into anything else. Oh, of course, Camera replied, bowing slightly in respect. Thank you for not telling anyone about this. I really appreciate it. It's the least we could do, Searle Shorto. Oh, and if you could put a good word about us in with Dick. I'm afraid my associate may have made a bad first impression. What? Oh, wait. Did you call him that ridiculous nickname? Camera asked me with an unusually pointed tone. I hesitantly flicked my ears affirmatively, only to be met by a soft bleat on her end. Oh, heard, no wonder I heard her shouting before. I see what I can do. We'd appreciate that, thank you, Searle commented before returning to my side. I believe we've stayed our welcome for now though. Have a good port, Camera. To why you as well. The coffee drinking Venil responded, and for once I followed Searle out the exit all the way to the elevator that brought us here. I hadn't been in this kind of situation since I was thrown from tail guard as a defenseless Itzensprig lawyer myself, yet here I was following an actual Itzensprig lawyer. I would do well not to forget this mistake. Hey, Searle suddenly started beside me as the doors closed. Thanks for not making things worse with her in there after I told you off. I've seen you operate aggressively sometimes, but you did manage to come around. I'd be a fool not to, I explained as the doors opened to the lobby. The receptionist watched us leave as we exited, confusion evident in his eyes. My method wasn't working, and if I'm anything, it's perceptive. Yours was, so I followed your lead. Yeah, hey, for what it's worth, I'm sorry for questioning your judgment with Dick, Searle apologized as we made our way through the subterranean parking garage. I can see in retrospect that aggravating him was probably the only way to get him to testify given which side we're on. I only hope that Camera's port drive gives us a little more to go off of. I suppose we both have something to learn from the other, I conceded as we reached my hover transit. I opened the door for Searle, climbing in myself once she was buckled. I secured myself and set the autopilot to start circling once again, sighing as the light of our star illuminated us once more. I could tell this was the start of an interesting working relationship, but one I wasn't opposed to in the slightest. Not anymore, at least. Strangely enough though, I didn't feel nearly as tired as I had been even as recently as inside the XTC itself. Perhaps that coffee stuff might be worth looking into after all. Legal Legend 6. Memory transcript, Searle vindicated, Itzensprig lawyer. Date standardized human time, November 14th, 2136. I watched out the windows the buildings of Sidesta pass by beneath us. Despite the oddly strong boost that coffee had given us, we had still been ready to retire for a call once we had the first bits of unfiltered evidence in our paws. It would seem that I was the only one to actually use my rest clause, though, as Venric only seemed more wired than he had previously. If I didn't know any better, I'd say I could taste that same bitterness in his breath. What little time I had to myself wasn't nearly enough to sort through how I felt about the unscrupulous lawyer in the vehicle with me right now. His actions were completely unacceptable for the professional I had thought him to be. Okay, hoped, but still. He had barged right into the security room and had almost immediately begun snooping into Camera's personal effects in secret, no less. Forget professional etiquette, that went against what any reasonable person should even think of doing. Had it not been for my intervention, we'd have likely eaten concrete on behalf of the security, which he had also managed to piss off. I was able to recognize the necessity in asserting your dominance over a predator to achieve your ends, but harassing Camera for her information was a bridge too far for me. He did apologize for it afterwards, that much remained true, but I wasn't eager to see him repeat that mistake. I'll have to keep a closer eye on him from now on. Not eager to continue brooding, I turned an eye towards my new business partner and spoke. Still not completely over him manipulating me into working for him. So, anything new that you've been able to isolate? Tangibly. No, Venric admitted, shutting the file and readjusting his seating position with a weary huff. if I weren't certain of his restlessness before, I sure now. But I think I'm on board with your observations. The inconsistencies here are too notable to brush aside, and the admission that there was an attempt to cover up information only serves to further that point. But why? Whose interest would it be to have corroborating evidence removed? The question was a loaded one for the both of us. With the information we had gained from Dick and Camera, the obvious answer would be Enya Lassie. We'd have to bring her up to speed once we have the port drive in our possession, but she didn't peg me as the tech type. Other than Enya Lassie, you mean? Yes, I was insinuating that, Fenric said dismissively. Her specialty is medical, not technological. But that still doesn't answer our questions. I've been trying to figure this out, but I feel as though we're missing an important piece. Perhaps once we have the drive, we could turn it into the police and see if they can recover whatever's on it, he finishes as he leans back in his seat. His ramblings had given me an idea, however. I sat up in my own chair and voiced my opinion. Why not go now? We already have testimony of a third-party blackmailing to tamper with evidence. Sure, this should be brought to discovery sooner rather than later. Fenric's ears flew up and his eyes pointed directly at me. You're absolutely correct. We could even get the court to push back the preliminary trial for investigating the drive. And as it'll be left with the police, we don't have to worry about everything getting deleted and burned. I mentally winced in sympathy at his last comment. As much as I thought he was a brass for how he behaved around Camera, I consciously understood that his behavior was likely influenced by how often he had to deal with corruption and hostile witnesses, especially if he had an adverse reputation amongst those with power. That is true, yes. We do have time until the standard claw change, so we should probably go now before anything else happens, they commented. Perfect. Then I shall set the address into the transport. He twisted the chair around and his claws flew as they typed in our new destination. Okay, if I had only suspected he had been wired before, I was now certain. The most likely culprit was that bitter coffee drink that Camera had gotten oddly defensive over. He looked alert, thinking fast, tail wagging, while I was stuck still, feeling like I only had half a claw to rest. If he's feeling that energetic, then maybe the taste is worth it in the end. The hover transit shifted as it navigated the new route. Thankfully, we weren't far from the station and we came down for a landing a mere few minutes after our destination had been set. From what I could see out the window, much of the building's exterior and surrounding area were walled off for construction, likely to provide more room to aid in the new duties the police would be taking on. At least the front door's not blocked off yet. We landed a short distance away, surrounded by police vans that were obviously hastily repainted exterminator transports. I couldn't fault the district for taking such cost-cutting measures considering the suddenness of the decision. It was lucky that Sidesa had gone through a corruption scandal at the office right beforehand, otherwise there would be significantly more pushback to the reallocation of powers. At least they kept the office around, somewhat unlike Dawn Creek. I could tell that Fenric wasn't all too pleased about the choice of vehicles the police department had co-opted from his body language alone. That assumption was reinforced when he made certain to double lock his vehicle once we had exited. After learning what I did, I couldn't well blame him for his caution, even if it was misplaced. You know these belong to the police now, right? You don't have to worry about them burning down your vehicle. I wish I could share your confidence in that sentiment, Fenric huffed as we made our way towards the department store. Many of the new inductees were exterminators prior to the reveal. This district was lucky enough to not have enough zealots to cause lasting damage. Knowing that, I must applaud the new High Magister for her conviction towards descaling the power of the office so that nothing of the sort could ever happen here should another galaxy-shattering reveal happen. You talk like another one is just around the corner, I verbally prodded, slightly perturbed by his apparent lack of respect for all exterminators. It's not like the kinds of incidents that stemmed from the reveal were common before, weren't they? Fenric asked, stopping sharply in his tracks and turning to look at me. On the scale we just saw, you're absolutely right, but think a little smaller. A false report that ends up with a political opponent's property torched. Incessant PD sannings to ruin someone's social standing. Embezzling money meant for their social programs so their officers can wield the newest model of flamer. Once you start putting their business under a lens, it all falls apart. He cleared his throat and spit out a small glob of mucus, landing directly on the side of a nearby van. Easier to burn away the lenses, isn't it? His voice was dripping with venom when he uttered that last sentence, not giving me time to formulate a response before he entered the building. I would likely have to hurry to put out any metaphorical fires he set off, so I rushed in after him. However, I had almost instantly stopped myself, so I didn't bowl over him when I entered. Fenric had, instead of marching up to the reception desk like he had done the last two places, stopped to scan the area with seemingly all of his senses. For once, he actually looked tense, almost fearful, as he took in sight of the police office. It had seemed that he isn't completely imperceptive of how his reputation might harm him here. His tail lashed behind him as he took slow, calculated steps through the office. He kept up a steady pace, taking everything in as he walked up to the front desk. "Good poor sir. I am Venrik, serving as legal representation of NLRC. Case number is 4N. I'm here to request non-contaminating analysis of the physical evidence of her case in preparation for trial." The guard's ears rose in alarm at his name and her eyes squinted in displeasure. "Venrik, hum. I've heard of you. Would have thought someone as pro-predator as you would avoid that case. After all, she did just kill one of your potential clients, hehe. What is it that humans call cautions again? Squids. Surprised you're going out of your way to defend a pred-killing squid." Venrik stood still, not even wagging his tail. "My clients, no matter your opinion, deserves to be defended as the law requires. I am quite used to defending those that others have made efforts to ensure are despised. I believe your new co-workers could attest to that. So once again, I'm requesting access to sterile examination of the evidence." The guard huffed, lashing her tail shortly before pulling up and tapping on her pad. "The evidence room is down the hall on the right, the one with the scanner on the doorpad." She reached into the desk and pulled out a metal card on a lanyard, pressing the card into Venrik's paws. "This will allow you access to the room and the evidence case. You will have to wear your wool covers for handling the evidence, and your time examining them shall be recorded to ensure that no tampering takes place. Any questions?" Venrik took the card and looped the lanyard around his wrist. "Only to comment that I think it's good there's finally measures in place to prevent evidence tampering. You get the idea from humanity. Believe it or not, we're actually capable of having our own ideas as Venild without the aid of the miracle apes," the guard said incredulously. However, after a moment of thought, she closed her eyes and sighed. "But yes, the new security measures were suggested by our newest human advisor. Damn diversity hire," she whispered under her breath. "What was that?" I asked, my ear bases rising in concern. "Down the hall to the right," Bottet Venrik quickly said, ushering me along with his arm. "Thank you for your time." His words might have been respectful, but given that his pace quickened with every syllable, I doubted his heart was in the same place. I couldn't say that mine was either. Not after hearing her admit their aid from humans while deriding them in the same bleat. Talk about hypocrisy. The evidence room was exactly where the guard had specified, but there was something they had neglected to mention. The door had a sign saying complete wall coverings were required to prevent contamination. Of course, there was only a single plastic suit hanging on the hook nearby. "Come to sir, official lawyer, I feel like I should be the one to go in," Venrik said, holding his paw out for my device to enter the evidence and new witnesses we had managed to secure. Normally, I would have been incensed that he was so quick to brand himself as NLRC's primary lawyer when he had barely been on the case for a paw. However, I wasn't much a fan of wool coverings, so I wasn't much inclined to be confrontational. "Short here," I said as I handed him my device. He firmly grasped it and gestured in gratitude before slipping on the one wool covering and entering the sterile room. That just left me alone outside the room, standing in the hall like a brax. I reached for my PD so I could at least review the evidence while Venrik was in there, only to remember that I had given him my pad as evidence collection. Why did he need to take that in anyways? I didn't even record anything. Unable to distract myself from the moments I settled myself in for however long I'd be spending waiting for him to come out. Before long, I heard raucous laughter from the front area. Normally, I wouldn't give that any thought, but I unfortunately recognized the voice. Asterisk. "Stars, please don't let that be who I think it is." Dot asterisk. No matter my inner pleadings, the faces I saw entering the hallway were enough to still any emotion my tail might have had. What in the stars are those two doing here? Oh, I absolutely love Tilda the Wenchy for there. Add a side of that chocolate cake stuff as a follow and the experience is divine. The pillion's voice rang down the hall, seemingly taking no notice of me from such a distance. "You certainly tempt me with your words," Eclivus's gruff of vocalizations responded along with the clack from his prosthetic foot. However, from what I could see of it from here, it looked different, almost like a metal boot. Has he gotten an upgrade in the herd since he was let go? "And I shall tempt you further, Tilda, until your walls fall. The date will not stop, Tilda, until I get a proper wag from your tail," Pillion said with a flirtatious tone, gently stroking down Eclivus's arm. However, upon spotting me, he stepped away from him and ruffled his mane. I pressed myself a bit more against the wall in a desire to disappear. Even under the artificial lights, his dark grey fur seemed to shimmer. It suddenly felt much more intimidating than I remembered. "My goodness, if it isn't so." Pillion spoke, approaching me at a quicker pace. I could tell by the stillness of his tail that he wasn't happy to see me, and for good reason. But that still doesn't explain why he's here. "Pillion," Clivers, I offered in greeting, being met by only an agitated huff by the ex-military Venild, his short tan coat crossed with barely noticeable stripes across his body only working to add to his suggested muscles. "I would say it's a pleasure, but I don't want to assume incorrectly on your end." "Then, Optigious choice," Clivers bluntly responded, his tail lashing aggressively behind him. He was always known around the office for having a straightforward personality, but it did net him a few cases where the suspects broke down under his cross-examination. Is there any particular reason you're loitering outside the evidence room? I could ask you two the same, I responded, matching if livers with a tail lash of my own. Last I saw, you were both headed out the door with your belongings. I can't imagine tail guard would hire you back so soon. You'd be correct in that assumption. The Pillin took over. We have found that our talents were much more appreciated at Tulu and Basil. They decided we could be quite the harvest for their firm. We're doing quite well despite your attempts to deplore us, just in case you were wondering. A harvest? Two people who tried to suppress evidence before it could be entered, I spat instinctively. You were supposed to send that to the other lawyer as part of full disclosure. It's the judge's responsibility to decide whether it's relevant, not us. Especially not just because it's inconvenient. Ah yes. Let's let the Itz and Sprigg lawyer lecture us on how to do our jobs. The Pillin whistled at my expense. You see, unlike the rotting gourd that is Tail Guard, Tulu and Basil actually allow us to do our jobs without having to dig 1,000 trenches through their field. You know, like you, the previously disgraced lawyer narrowed his eyes at me. It's not my fault that you couldn't defend your client without bending the rules, I replied stoically, not letting him get even a crumb of a rose out of me. Honestly, I figured you'd attempt to find a new career after everything. Defense doesn't suit you either of you, I said, looking to Clivers at the very end. Oh, we're well aware of that, he Pillin commented to my surprise. That's why we're not in the defense business any longer. We're prosecutors now, specifically on cases 4M, so we'd appreciate it if you vacated our path and scampered back to Tail Guard. I felt my eye twitch. Is 4M? Yes, Clivers stated, in fact, if my former colleagues are correct, that's the same case you got assigned to as the defense. Must be quite a shame to have your career end before it even begins. Then suddenly he twisted his head. However, given that the both of us have been assigned this case on special circumstance, I suspect there's something else at play here, or rather someone. Tell me, which poor soul did they decide to drag down with you? Before I could respond, the noise of the door latching caught all of our attention. From it emerged the suited form of Verica Huff, sounding from him as he had his back turned. Well, I suppose that's that. Now all we have to is W. Fenric stopped talking once Pillin and Clivers came into his line of sight. He froze in place, his eyes widening visibly at the sight of his two former co-workers. He remained silent for a time before the same raucous laughter as before came from Pillin, the whistles loud enough to hurt even my permanently drooped ears. Fenric. Oh, I should have known they'd stoop so low. Pillin, Fenric replied with a tone so low it bordered on a growl. That took me somewhat by surprise to see such open hostility from him. I knew that he didn't have the highest opinion of these two, but this clearly was something more than a simple workplace rivalry. What the spake are you doing here? Oh, such harsh words, Veni Pillin responded, his bleats taking on a surprisingly similar tone to how he had just been talking to Clivers before they noticed me. That's odd. What, we haven't seen one another in rotations and all you have to offer me is deflected profanity? How unwarranted, Pillin nearly purred out, his tail wagging behind him suggestively. Okay, what's going on here? I could ask you the same, Venric responded, his voice cold as he let the door close behind him. Last I heard, you were fired from Tail Guard at the behest of your companion. Yes, yes. We've already gone through this conversation before you had to butt in. Then again, you were always so good at doing that, weren't you, Tilda? Pillin's sing-song tone on that last part gave rise to a thought in my head, and Venric's simultaneous stony gaze and blooming ears give it credence. Oh, stars, they're exes, aren't they? That is not for you to bring up. Then Rick spat, stumping his foot and lowering his head. Now answer the question, what are you two of all people doing here? We're the prosecutors for cases 4M, Clivers stated bluntly, as I had come to expect from him. When I heard that Tail Guard put an Itz and Sprigg lawyer on the case as a defendant, I already assumed that they wished to ruin them. What I didn't expect is that they'd hire you of all people to accompany her. Hasn't your reputation been soured enough? He crossed his arms at Fenric, huffing menacingly towards him. Fenric, however, wasn't so easily swayed. Have you assumed that I'd ever go back to working for those overripe deadlines? No, I've started my own firm, and I'm doing just fine, thank you very much. After what I had heard him confess in the van, I found that sentiment hard to believe, and seemingly so did the two prosecutors. Oh, I'm certain you are Fenric, he Pillin teased further, approaching Fenric with smooth steps. That Tulin case E1 must be generating you credits to this very day. Shame that so many people had to lose their livelihoods because of it, but that's just the way the crunch cake crumbles, isn't it? Once you've had your way with something, you just discard it and move on to the next without so much as a second thought. Pillin's tone took a venomous undertone as he continued cementing my theory into tentative fact. We both know it wasn't like that, don't you dare try to twist things. Fenric firmly stated. Every port I had to hear slander about how I'd never amount to anything. that you were the only reason why I hadn't been given a terrible case to dispose of me. Well, look at me now. That case is behind me and it's one of my biggest successes. And failures, Clivers interjected. I've kept sporadic tabs on you since you left just to make sure that you stayed as far away from us as possible. Not that such efforts will do either of us much good now. Tell me, how's your first hover transit doing? Still getting paneling replacements, or have you sold it for scrap? Flame of fire burns very hot after all. My ears rose in shock at how entirely unprofessional these two were being. I knew that they were likely still upset with getting fired from Tail Guard, but these personal attacks were becoming childish. Derek looked to be about to burst, his breath heavily controlled as he faced down the two of them. Sensing that an oath boil was just around the corner, I stepped in between them. Hey, stop it. Both of you. Whatever the case might be for our past, that's no excuse to be throwing around pointless insults and needless threats. All three of them turned an eye towards me, wearing expressions of incredulity at my interruption. While two of them kept that expression, Venric's features eased back into a practiced setting. Geez, correcty, Pillin. If we are to be working on the same case, albeit on opposing sides, it suits us to uphold our professionalism. That would require all parties to have some in the first place, the Clivers growled, still eyeing us down. That is true, Venric stated instantly, but sadly, if I was to only interact with professionals, Syl would be the only one I spoke to. So speaking to idiots must suffice for now. I had to stop myself from laughing at that outburst, a task made all the more difficult by the faces that the two opposing us made in turn. Without missing a beat, Venric threw the clean coat onto Pillin's head and grabbing my wrist. Well, it's been fun, got to go see you in the courtroom. He dragged me along as he fled the scene, something I was perfectly happy to accompany him with. I could hear Cliver shouting obscenities at us as we left, but I wasn't too keen on staying around long enough to listen. As we exited the police station, we were both breathing heavily from the exertion of bolting out of the building. It wasn't nearly as bad as the stampedes when the humans first arrived, but it was still a taxing endeavor nevertheless. Do you huff think we lost them? I punted out in Venric's general direction. Hopefully, he huffed back, standing straighter and adjusting his strange torso covering and vest. Phew. I do appreciate you trying to reason with them, Sir, but I hope you've realized by now that such an endeavor shall ultimately turn up fruitless. Well, forgive me for trying to empathize with my FR, actually to our former co-workers, I said, pulling at my identifying neck puff. I knew that I didn't technically need to wear it any longer as my employment with Tail Guard was through, but I didn't want to get rid of my status symbol just yet, no matter how meager a status it might convey. On the topic of Tail Guard and Venric's past, however, I saw no better time to confirm my strong suspicions than now. So were you and Pillin. Are you two? Not on speaking terms. Yes, Venric interrupted with a stern tone, thank you for the astute observation. Now let's return to my vehicle before those two pay off a couple of officers to have a quick lapse in perception. He started walking quickly into the parking area at every part of his side of the interaction, implying that my confirmation on that topic would have to wait. Seeing no alternative to that conclusion, I simply sighed and followed my new boss. Our rendezvous with Camera would be soon, and I'd rather not be late for that. Besides, there's no use in trying to fertilize salted soil. Legal Legend 7. Memory Transcript, Femric Venla, Lawyer Extraordinaire. Date Standardized Human Time, November 13th, 2136. Well, I suppose we shouldn't keep you any longer, I said as I took the small port drive from Camera's paws. We had been careful to keep our meeting as inconspicuous as possible, lest whoever it was that created it was watching. The thought still lingered in the back of my head that it might be an LRC, but confirmation or denial of that suspicion would have to wait until later. We'll ensure that this drive is well taken care of. As far as we're concerned, this was given to us anonymously. Thank you, Camera stuttered, bowing respectfully. I hope that you T2 figure out who really did it. She took another sip of her coffee beverage as soon as the air had left her teeth. A signed affirmatively, which in turn caused her tail to wag. H have a good paw. Good paw to you as well. Sir offered enthusiastically, her tail wagging behind her as we officially separated from our meeting. A public park wasn't exactly the definition of discreet, but there was merit in hiding in plain sight. Had we taken excessive measures to hide our involvement, it'd be obvious to anyone watching what was going on. On the topic, I held the small device up to my head to get a better look. It certainly didn't look like anything special, just a regular digital connection port external drive only around the size of my thumb. That is, if it weren't for the scorch marks around the back end of it. I'm no technician, but I doubt we'll get much information from this, I said as we walked back towards my hover transit. It looks like the thing overheated itself at some point, probably after it accomplished its task on Camera's workstation. Once we look over the evidence once more and meet with NLRC, we should enter it into evidence. That last thing we need is Pillin and Clivers throwing the server at us. I huffed as I opened the door, the horrible taste coating my tongue from saying his name again. I had hoped I'd be free of him after leaving Tail Guard. How naive of me to assume I'd get such a break. That's probably why Searle agreed, hopping in and taking her seat. She watched me as I entered and made my way into the command chair all the way up until my view of her was broken as I faced straight forward. I sighed once I thought I was out of earshot, setting the vehicle to return to the penitentiary. I knew Searle wasn't a fool. She could tell that there was an attraction asterisk original term rejected by subject asterisk history between me and Yipilin as soon as our conversation had ended, likely before. I just didn't want to discuss that part of my life to her. Not now, with all the responsibility of this case looming over the both of us. She doesn't need to know something so superfluous and irrelevant to this case that I'm also completely over already, without a shadow of a doubt whatsoever. Once I was certain that we were on course, I spun my chair back around so that I was seated at my desk. All right, time to review all the evidence. I took my pad out of the small drawer and gestured for Searle to hand me hers. She did so, and I quickly tapped the devices together to facilitate the transmission of all the relevant evidence documents. I slid hers back to her and activated the projection function on mine. A small holographic projection of my screen appeared between us, and I started swiping through the files on the physical screen. HM, we've already been over that. No HF. Well, I suppose the autopsy report is as good a place as any to start. I tapped on the file and brought it up for the both of us to see. A human face met the both of us as the identity of the victim accompanied it. I studied the information once more as Searle decided to speak aloud the information. Bruce Meekins, age 33, sole rotations. Occupation, paratrooper. Reason for hospitalization, injuries sustained in the line of duty. Do you think it was a cradle? She asked me, looking around the projection. Could be timeline WhatsApp, I concurred. Let's see here, cause of death. Here we are, methanol poisoning. Time of death 4.09 CL, November 11, 2136. Notes: resuscitation was attempted, but the victim was unable to undergo dialysis in a short enough time. Delirious murders were heard from him as he passed. Guard recalled seeing Purple Koshian enter and exit the room shortly before the vitals monitor alerted staff. Shift cross-reference yielded 4 results, only one was corroborated to be in vicinity around estimated time of act. And everyone thinks that's NLRC, Searle commented, glumly scrutinizing the data for herself. Given the information here, I don't blame them. She's the only one who was in the rough time and place to commit the act. I suppose we should consider the possibility, but I doubt that NLRC has the know-how to draft up a device like the drive camera provided us, she said, gesturing to the drive on my desk. I agree, there's more to this than we're being told, I agreed, lowering the projection so Searle and I could speak face to face once more. The only issue is going to be uncovering what that is. Whatever the case, somebody had the foresight to sabotage the cameras in a way that only a seasoned cryptcracker could trace. I know one who might be up to the task, but I haven't heard anything from her in herds. I doubt any of the hastily retrained officers at the station will be of any use in that department either, at least not before the trial starts. I glanced at the autopsy report again, the thought crossing my mind, the notes mention 4 results, but I haven't found any list of other suspects yet. That is because they were on vastly different floors at the time of the incident and on camera around the same time at that. It'd be irrational to think that any of them could have been the killer, because you can't be at 2 places at once, Searle explained, pulling over my pad and swiping to access a set of videos. She projected them in tandem, and lo and behold, there were the 3 others. One was a deeper shade of blue, the other 3 being the same common purple as Enelasi. For all but one, we got a good look at their faces, and none of them had the same distinguishing mark that Enelasi bore. I'm not quite convinced. As irrational as a predator being benevolent and peaceful, I countered, or a correctional facility being a place of torture rather than healing. So these are all the Koshians who are employed at that hospital? Yes, at the time of the crime taking place, Searle confirmed, switching from the videos to a full schedule for the herd of claws. Enelas's name was there fully visible, if hastily added in the wake of her transfer. While this was interesting, there was something in Searle's words that caught my attention. At the time of the crime. What about those who were supposed to be off? Searle fiddled with the pad before signing, no grant. It appears these 4 were the only Koshians registered with that division of the XGC. Sorry. I mentally cursed at her words. I had hoped there might have been some on the files didn't catch, but there was no way of confirming that now. The case, and since a random Koshian from the street is extremely unlikely, everyone is pointing to Enelasi. Any of the 3 on the promotion list? Let me check, Searle said before navigating to the freshly added list and tapping on it. I do see Enelasi on it, Searle stated, pointing up at her name. Looks like she was going to be promoted to a senior resident this poor, actually. I don't think she'll be able to make the reception. I whistled dryly as Searle's joke flicking my ears affirmatively. It would seem so. But Selk's only junior to senior. That's barely a step up, not like that person at the top. Fellow all the way to head medical director Sogolix Mercy. Challen, wait. This isn't that a Utah name. Checking, yes. Yes it is, Searle confirmed, pulling up their profile. A Rustford Yotel appeared before us, followed closely by a number of medical specifications. It appeared as though they came to Venlo Prime shortly after Laren's uplifting, to which explained both their age and extensive qualifications. Well, good for them, I stated, swaying my ears congratulatory, despite the person that gesture was directed towards not being present. Before I got the chance to think of something else, I felt my vehicle come to a landing. On a quick glance out the window, I made to unfasten myself. In any case, I believe it's high time we confronted Enilasi with all the new evidence we've gathered. Searle signed affirmatively and unfastened herself as well. Ace still wasn't too keen on leaving my mobile office parked amidst poorly disguised glorified flamer carriers, but I didn't have much of a choice in the matter, not if I wanted to clinch this case. As we made our way inside, I saw the same receptionist that had greeted us the poor prior. As she did us, it would seem. Good Paul, I greeted dutifully, not feeling like playing up my charm to someone who had no chance of being swayed by it. I am here for my by the poor meeting with my client Enilasi. She didn't say anything to me in response at first, but did start typing into the workstation. After a few minutes passed, she glared up at us, an obvious distaste in her gaze. Same room as before. Don't overstay, the time limit is a quarter core. Thank you, I offered as I began to walk away. Before I did that though, I wanted to be sure of something. Oat and I assumed that nothing has changed regarding her holding conditions. She narrowed her eyes at me and parted her lips slightly as if to growl. However, she was smart enough to not, instead only speaking in a low tone. Her conditions are the legal standard all prisoners are required to have. I could see the displeasure she held for me, how cruel and predatory I must be for demanding adequate accommodations for a caution given how long their species hid predators in our midst for. I had to admit though, either she or her boss were quite clever in not giving a direct yes or no to my question. Thank you, I bowed, I do hope your son is also having a good pour. A steady job does wonders for childhood stability. At last the growl she had been holding came forth, but she made no move to stop us as we entered the hallway on our way to our meeting. Wisely so, because then I'd have all the proof I needed. Why did you have to threaten her, kid? They paused in my step here straight in surprise. Searle was now looking at me with the same expression of judgment she held when I had overstepped with camera, but this time I didn't know what set it off. I'm sorry. Searle huffed, tugging at her frilled collar and pressing her ears against her head. Last time we were here you threatened her kids, and then you did it again just now. They did nothing to you, so why are you threatening them? Ah, now I was starting to understand. I'm not, at least not in the way you might think, I countered, I'm threatening this entire establishment. I noticed multiple signs that Enilasi was not being kept in adequate conditions, and while I'm not able to see the quarters myself, I knew she did. Are you saying I shouldn't attempt to ensure that all prisoners are treated fairly while waiting trial? That's not the point, you could have left it at the fines and been done with it, but you brought in her kid, Searle protested as we made our way down the hall. That was completely unacceptable and unnecessary. I beg to differ. People are in lines to act when it affects them and those they care about, I argued. A vague threat against the agency gets a flippant note and a few extra cameras pointed at you when you walk in. Only a more personal insinuation digs below the surface to enact change. Real change, the kind that gets all cameras on you when you walk in. I whistled a little at that last part. Such are the pros of my status. But why her? Searle questioned as we arrived outside the door, waiting for the light above to signal it was ready for entry. I am not much fond of waiting in the lobby with that receptionist around. Even if you're correct, she has nothing to do with this. Perhaps to the untrained eye, but do remember that the person greeting people as they go in and out is the person who hears the most. She would greet guards as they go on and off shifts. She would be in position to hear about what was happening, to gossip with co-workers and friends. She would be in position to notify superiors when they notice anything wrong. And I Searle, and that's something wrong. I wagged my tail behind me at the verbal admission of my controversial status. So I think it's for the best if I use that reputation to ensure that when they spread news of me, they also spread the news of the other wrongs they have deliberately ignored or worse propagated. Searle was about to fire back with another argument, but the light above the door flipped on above us, indicating that Enilasi was ready and waiting inside. In the spirit of having a somewhat professional conversation, I bowed my head to Searle. We can discuss this at length another time. For now, shall we? Searle seemed not quite ready to let this argument go, but she reluctantly agreed, opening the door for me to follow her through. The first thing that I saw was proof that my tactics had in fact worked. The discoloration I had noted before was completely absent, indicating that she was now resting on a padded surface of some kind. Likewise, I could see that she had eaten recently by analyzing how she sat in her chair without the discomfort of a stomach that had been empty for way too long. She looked far healthier now than she had not even a full paw of goat and well rested to boot. I wanted so badly to explain to Searle how my tactics had paid off, but I was serious about my commitment to a professional environment. My gloating would have to wait. Searle Venric, good to see you both again, Enelasi offered in a friendly manner, resting her tentacles on the table in front of her. We both gave some curtsy greeting flicks as we made our way towards the table. Enelasi was observant enough to note our lack of an immediate verbal response and her features fell slightly. I take it that you have less than ideal information. Sad to say we don't, I admitted, however, that I can at least assure you I see enough potential holes in the case to take it to court. So you can feel at ease there. Her frills rose, signaling that she appreciated the good news. Th, thank you. A Thor, thank you. I bowed my head in appreciation. We did our best to do a preliminary investigation. For now, we wanted to talk to you about the evidence in case there were things you would know about that we might have overlooked. First of all, we saw that there were three other Kolshins suspected. What would you say your relationship was with them? Anything negative? Wait, there were three other Kolshins? Enelasi questioned. I had only met two during my time there. I suppose even a branch of the Xeno Medical is still a pretty big place. She seemed to be lost in thought for a moment before she snapped back to attention. No, to answer your question, I barely got to socialize there before everything happened, let alone make any enemies. I'm just a junior resident, so I'm not exactly in high places either. According to the promotion list you gave us, you were on the verge of being promoted to a senior resident, Searle pointed out. Did you do anything scrupulous to obtain that promotion? If you did, you should tell us now so we can formulate your case. What? No. Enelasi sputtered, her frills vibrating. I didn't do anything to anyone. All I did was my job, and then I got stuck in here for a crime I didn't commit. As she said that, she seemed to deflate. Speaking of, can I at least know who I supposedly killed? Searle and I looked between one another, and after a mutual exchange of sonics, I returned my attention to Enelasi. Bruce Meekins, I summarily stated, military man. We think he was injured on the cradle. Enelasi brought her tentacles to her mouth. Oh, Lifebringer, I've seen footage of that front. How they threw down their lives for the Godred. You have to understand, I wouldn't ever. She stopped abruptly, recognition flashing in her eyes with the same intensity as an antimatter bomb. I remember Meekins. He had gotten shot multiple times in the stomach and chest, left behind during the evacuation, but they found him somehow. He had managed to survive. But the injuries, I saw the pictures of him before his surgery. He was in the ward for long-term recovery on antibiotics and bacteriophages for any remaining infections, and then Enelasi stopped, I commanded sternly. He looked shocked to be interrupted, but I needed to understand what I was hearing without even a crumb of doubt. Did you know the victim? Yes or no? I did, she said, moisture accumulating at the edges of her eyes. I was assigned to monitor him when I was on shift. It took all I had not to engage in a cussing fit right in the middle of the room. Of course, she had to be one of his dedicated wards. As if the rest of the evidence wasn't damning enough, she had to go and drop this on me. Was I being played for a fool? Was she really the one who did this? As I pondered the question, I realized I had stood from my seat and started pacing the length of the room. Searle and Enelasi were both looking at me as if I had grown a second head, and I couldn't blame them. After all, she was a perfect. Wait a minute. Of course, whoever did this would choose her as their cover. She was one of the closest people to him during his recovery. If my growing theory about this being at least partially specially motivated are true, then she would be the logical person to frame. What's more, her reaction to his name was of rambling shock. We were likely the first people to actually call the victim by their actual name in her presence, which matches what she claimed before. There's still hope here. I quickly retook my seat, returning immediately to the questioning as if nothing had happened. So you were. I suppose we should also inform you of the method of his death. Enelasi seemed uncomfortable with the idea, but I wasn't about to stop now, if only for my own sake. Methanol poisoning originating from a bag with tentacle marks on it. Due to the nature of medicine bags, the deformities rendered a match impossible, but they were still identifiable as tentacle marks from a Kolshin. Methanol poisoning, wait, you're certain it was a methanol bag? Not a vial or container, but an intravenous bag? She questioned us curiously. We both confirmed wordlessly, and her color shifted to a lighter shade as she mused over that information. I think I heard of that at the start of my shift. I heard that Staxic was madding about stuff being missing in the inventory, that someone had stolen something, but they, well, we didn't think they. She looked around for a moment before speaking more softly. They're a secret, so we all kind of knew, thought that they just misplaced it. Searle's tail started wagging behind her. That's perfect. We've been missing a proper lead since we learned that the drive was busted. They didn't quite get her enthusiasm. Sure, it was a lead, but it was a lead from a syndicate. It was a toss-up if they understood what they saw enough to explain it, let alone give testimony that could be crossed in court. But any lead's a lead, I suppose. However, Tsul had reminded me of an important point. Oren Ilossi, how familiar are you with coding and technology in general? Not very, I'm sorry to say, Ken Ilossi offered with a shy tone. The most I know about machines is how to use them to save lives. I leave the mechanical work to the techs and they leave the bloody work to me. Why do you ask? We recovered a port drive from the branch's security officer. Through some unknown means, almost all the evidence surrounding your error was erased aside from the video that supposedly caught you leaving Bruce's room. Enilossi appeared disheartened by my mentioning of Bruce once again, but she answered regardless. Oro, that's horrible, but I guess that proves I didn't make that drive, huh? What do you mean? Searle asked. Well, I mean not much use in going through all that effort just to leave the video that catches me intact, right? I think at least she finished seeming to mull over her words, but she was inexorably correct. The drive was the closest thing we had to evidence that Enilossi didn't commit this crime, even if weak evidence. That's very true, Genhilasi. Thank you for your cooperation, I stated, resting my own arms on the table. Now, was there anything else that you wanted to tell us? Any changes in your accommodation since we last spoke? Enilossi seemed confused by my question for a moment, but the familiar flash of realization came across her eyes and she lowered her head, frills vibrating once more. I don't know what you did, but thank you. I was getting tired of sleeping on the ground. Sol's ear bases jerked up upon hearing that, causing my own tail to wag harder than ever. Being vindicated is such a pleasant feeling. Of course, I said professionally, it's my job to defend you after all. Why stop at just the courtroom? Enilossi let out a bubbly laugh at my humor, a kind laugh that I couldn't envision being emitted for anything even remotely nefarious. The doubt slipped further and further into the back of my mind every second that she giggled. She continued to do for a moment more before finally calming. Oh, I'm sorry, it's just that nobody has really joked with me since I woke up in the hospital. I thought at first it was because I was an exterminator, but I don't. She trailed off, going partially wall-eyed before refocusing herself and waving her frills. I really appreciate everything you've done for me, both of you. Pleased, it's our pleasure, Sol assured her with a smile on her features. I could tell she was still reeling from the confirmation of my assessment, but she was still keeping her composure. I respect that. Now, I believe we have some more evidence to find. If you'll require us again, you know who to call. Indeed, I agreed, standing from my seat. Now I think our meeting time has come to an end. I shall return to check in on you in a port as promised. I hope you have as good a port as you're able to. Enhilasi agreed and waved us goodbye. We returned the gesture and exited the room, thankfully to no unpleasant surprises as had awaited me the last time I strode out of a room. As we made our way out of the building, the lobby being thankfully devoid of any receptionist this time around, I realized something. I turned to my cohort and adopted a questioning tone. Hey, Searle, I only just realized. We spoke to Enilossi last port, right? I watched as she flicked her ears in the affirmative. Well, do you remember us taking time to sleep? She paused, likely also just now realizing how much we'd been pushing ourselves. I didn't blame her, we had been quite busy with everything. I eagerly awaited her eventual response of the same sentiment. Yeah, when we pulled into the motel a couple claws ago. You did sleep some, right? Oh, perhaps I had misjudged the source of her surprise. Sogalix mercied, I could use a nap right about now. Legal Legends 8. Memory Transcripts, Searle Lawyer Extraordinaire Apprentice. Date Standardized Human Time November 14th, 2136. I sighed as I stared blankly at the evidence on my pad. It was the same information we had already picked apart bit by bit, and I had next to nothing to show for my time. If it were up to me, we'd be investigating the new lead we had learned about through Enilossi, but someone decided not to take Restclaw last port, which left me all but stranded in a McDell parking area. Fenric was fast asleep in his seat, not even bothering to enter the establishment to take his nap. At least the autopilot recognized he'd fallen asleep at the controls. Wait. An idea flashed through my mind, reckless but appealing. I shut off my pad and slowly stood from my chair. It was mostly silent aside from the soft clattering of the restraint buckles as they slid off of me. I froze, watching Fenric closely for any signs that the noise might have woken him. If they did, he was certainly doing an excellent job at hiding it. Confident that my plot hadn't been foiled before it could even begin, I crept my way around his sleeping form towards the front of the vehicle. Once I arrived, I was met with a myriad of controls and screens that I had only an inkling of how to operate. Most of my commutes have either been through automated public transit or a cab, meaning I had never quite learned how to drive myself. Granted, I didn't see Fenric do much driving either, so such skills were likely unnecessary. I looked over the dashboard, searching for where the autopilot destination controls were. Thankfully, they were quite literally front and center, so I had issues with finding it. I didn't even need to scroll through the list of previous locations given how linear our travels have been so far. I had at one point considered going sightseeing this close to the night side, but this case took precedent. I tapped on the Zeno Medical Grand Complex side door, branched, and immediately had to hold on to something as the vehicle started lifting into the air. I barely managed to remain upright as we took off, certain that the jostling had awoken Venrik. To my shock, he was still completely comatose, snoring just as he had when we were stationary on the ground. A part of me was concerned that he could sleep through all that ruckus, but another part was grateful that he wouldn't be around to interrupt the investigation. Even if I could concede his methods had merit in certain situations, I had a feeling that this would need a little more social finesse than Venrik had displayed so far. I certainly don't need him antagonizing security again. The ride over was surprisingly short, as most stretches of time are when you're monitoring another for any signs of waking. Before I knew it, the vehicle had navigated itself back into the underground parking for the branch. I unlatched myself and carefully made my way out, certain to grab my pad before exiting. As I reached the threshold of the building, I noticed the same repair setup as before, complete with the same stepladder with some minor changes, betraying that progress was still ongoing. Hard nobody around to tell me it's not a stepladder now. The lobby was completely empty as I entered, rendering the space strangely eerie. The same receptionist we had encountered before was sitting behind his desk listening to something with a pair of earbuds. I opted not to bother him, to instead just go in towards the nearest elevator. I entered with no problem and pressed the button for the fourth floor, where we had originally intended to go, before I overheard what Dick had said. I remembered that Venrik had also wanted to hear what that drug-addled facility escapee wanted to say, so I made a mental note to make my way down to the second floor once I had talked to the Sivkits. Staxic was their name, I believed. When the doors opened to admit me, I was secretly grateful that 70% of the staff weren't humans. Plenty of species roamed the halls, with a strict majority of Fennel. I could see a few clothed primate forms, but I could more than handle a few people doing their jobs. I wandered through the halls, flicking my ears as nonchalantly as I could towards anyone who passed me. It seemed to work well enough, but another issue was quickly arising. I have no barking idea where anything is. I hadn't yet run into any floor directory boards, so I was left aimless as I tried to find my way through the medical labyrinth that I had entered myself into. However, I wasn't left wandering for long, as a shrill, distinctly non-venil voice hit my defective ears. I'm serious. I still haven't found it, and I know it has something to do with whatever went down on the seventh floor. You can't keep shrugging me off like this. Curious, I followed the sounds around the corner, peeking around it once I had the chance. A large semicircular counter took up most of the enclave, a massive wall of racks and locker against the backmost wall. Sitting behind the counter was a fairly standard-looking Sivkit, their tail puff swaying back and forth in agitation. Across from them, the Venlo in a doctor's coat looked down at them with obvious distaste. For the last time, Staxic, what happened on the seventh floor is none of your concern. We don't need your focus split further with some meaningless chase, you're already scattered enough as is. That's a lie and you know it. Staxic retorted, slamming their front paws on the counter. I've kept the inventory of this floor in precise count for the past 9 rotations. I've never so much as kept a water bottle out of place, and then a bag of methanol goes missing the day of an incident, and you won't so much as tell me what happened. The doctor briefly looked around, somehow missing me, before they turned back to Staxic. Look, Sivkit brains, the Venil snarled at him, causing the smaller Sivkit to shrink back. Aura diversity high because a few of you were stupid enough to not understand that this isn't some uninhabited grazing ground. If it were up to me, you and the lot of you that stayed here would be kicked back in an escape pod. To share. Static looked as shocked as I felt at those words. While he deflated further under the withering glare of the doctor, I wasn't about to stand by and let someone be verbally abused like that. I stepped out from the corner, smacking my tail against the wall to make my presence known. Both the doctor and Staxic looked surprised at my intrusion, and to an extent so was I. I'm sorry, would you mind repeating all that for the record? The doctor stuttered, his fur standing on end at the thought that someone else might have heard his specious tirade. What, who are you? You're not staff here. Visitors aren't allowed back here. Perhaps, but I was over there just a second ago, I countered, jabbing a thumb behind me. And to my knowledge, discriminatory rants are also against policy, but that certainly didn't stop you. The doctor's tail went still as their eyes widened at my confirmation of my eavesdropping. Now, if you don't want your career ended within the port, I'd suggest leaving the Sivkit alone and tending to one of the many patients you have on this floor. The specis doctor started slowly creeping out towards the main hallway, but a slap of my tail against the floor and a stern look was all it took for them to bolt away into the bowels of the building. I took a breath to center myself, as I wasn't used to being so assertive. Stars, Venrik is rubbing off on me, isn't he? Regardless, I turned my attention towards Staxic, taking calm steps towards him. Hey, are you all right? May I thank you, Staxic responded, placing his front paws back on the desk. I'm not used to people not being rude towards me. Thanks, I guessed, he said, his tail betraying his immense relief at being freed from that doctor's wrath. They don't usually talk to visitors because my job is, you probably already know. Sorry, still a little shaken from that. He ended up falling to his posterior in his obviously venom-made seat, rendering only his face visible. I'm Staxic, by the way. Sylt, it's a pleasure to meet you, I replied, bowing respectfully towards Staxic. That resulted in yet another shocked expression as I pulled up a folding chair and sat down opposite him. Stars, how horrible are the people here to him? I'm with us, a legal team here to investigate the happenings on floor 7. I purposefully omitted which side I was here on behalf of because the last thing I wanted was a repeat of our expulsion from Richard's office. Saxic's ears perked up and his tail started spinning behind him. Heart, I knew that the missing bag had something to do with what happened. They all dismissed me, but I was right. He stopped coughing bashfully and sitting down again. I wasn't about to interrupt his apparently rare victory celebration, but I was glad to see he had enough professionalism to gloat later. Of course, how can I assist you? I heard from another source that you were complaining about a missing methanol bag of methanol a few pours ago. I started trying to word this as carefully as I could to avoid identifying Enelasi by name. I was told nobody listened to you when tried to tell people, and I have first witness of that being the case among other things. Have you attempted to go to SR about this? Heart, if only I could, Staxic dryly laughed. If I do, that'll be it for my job. Why is that? I asked. Why do you think? I'm a Sifkat, nobody's going to take my side of the story seriously. The people here barely tolerate my existence because I keep everything orderly, which isn't an easy task, let me tell you. I swear, the people here might as well just dump their carts onto the floor themselves with how many pieces of merchandise I find scattered around on my patrols. When something actually goes missing, though. He opened his mouth to speak further, but he deflated once again. Well, you've already seen what happens. Best not to make it worse for myself. I felt a spark of anger on behalf of this poor man that I had only just recently felt for camera whilst she was under Venric's harsh interrogation. From what I could see, this floor was practically shining cleaned, and if this place didn't recognize him for his work, then they didn't deserve his labor. I remembered Venric saying something about discriminatory laws before, so I'd be sure to ask him about that later, this poor. I see. If you'd like my opinion, I think they're completely ungrateful and abusive towards you. If you ever want to ensure they'll take you more seriously, give my associate and I a call. I'll think about it, thank you, Staxic responded, a bit more life behind his eyes than before. My tail wagged as he tilted his head at me. Now enough about my woes. He said that the methanol bag had something to do with what happened on the 7th floor. What was it this time? Reselling. Star glass making. That human nurse who has hair on his face and none on his head always did give me the creeps. Was it him? No, it's not quite as simple as resale or drugs, I said, lowering my voice to avoid causing a scene. There was a murder on the 7th floor. A human soldier dead from methanol poisoning. Staxic covered his mouth with his fork, was in horror. The only response I could give was a stunted ear flick thanks to my genetic deformity. If you have any inventory records you could turn over to the court, we'd all be greatly appreciative. WH, of course. Come, I have all the records on my workstation. He gestured for me to come behind the counter. As a precautionary measure, I looked back to ensure that I wouldn't get snagged by security for doing this. Oh, don't worry, if someone tries to tell you off, I'll cover for you as best I can, Staxic assured me to my surprise. He's certainly perceptive. Heeding the Sifkat's instructions, I stood from my seat and made my way behind the counter. All along the interior of the barrow were drawers and cubbies for all sorts of things. Medical equipment, personal effects, even entire uniforms. Wait, uniforms. Excuse me, I interjected, but could you direct me toward Enhilas's coat? There's something in there that I hadn't had enough time to catch myself before I said her name. Spey. Staxic, to his credit, stopped what he was doing to answer. Oh yes, I believe she turned it in right before she went on her break claw. Come to think of it, I haven't seen her as gaze and focused for but a moment before his ears lowered along with his volume. Was Enelasi the one who? I hesitated to respond, but I figured that a rahor of honesty was better than deception. That's what she's being accused of, yes. However, I have reasonable suspicion that there's something or someone else at play here. To finish my request, could you direct me towards Enelasi's uniform? There's a keepsake that she's misplaced that I want to return to her. I awaited the worst to blow up like her bin with dict or a breakdown light camera. Instead, all Staxic did was steal his expression and sign affirmatively. Yes, I can do that. It should be over here. He hopped down from his seat and made his way towards a closed cabinet. He slid open the door and rustled around for a minute. No, not this one, here we go. He emerged holding a sterile white uniform in his equally colored paws. I couldn't tell from the identifying markers that it belonged to any lassie, but there was only one way I could be sure. I gently took the covering from Stexic's paws and started rummaging around the inside for the interior pocket. Sure enough, I found it, but it was completely empty. Confused, I tried a few more times only to come out empty-pawed. Are you certain this is hers? Absolutely. That's the one she turned into me before she went off to do hurt I don't even know now. I remember it clearly. Why? He questioned inquisitively. There should be a picture in here. Did you clean out the uniform before now? I asked, desperate to find a workaround that wouldn't lend any credence to what the doctor before was saying. No, I didn't, at least Staxic mused, brushing past me and hopping back into his oversized chair. His paws worked in overdrive as he combed through maintenance and cleaning logs on his workstation, but the most recent date was well before the incident took place. No, there has to be some mistake. I took that from her, I did. There, above the left chest pocket, there was a faint stain. It's there, right? I took a cursory glance at the uniform, and sure enough, there was a stain right where Staxic claimed there'd be one. But that doesn't make any sense. Why would her uniform be missing her keepsake if she doesn't have it? I couldn't make much sense of that, so I relegated myself to making a note of it and seeing if I couldn't bounce ideas off of Fenric later. In the present, I flicked my ear bases to indicate confirmation. Yes, it's there. Weird. Staxic, visibly relieved, fell back in his chair, hind legs sticking out from his awkward position. Food okay. The cake is fine. I didn't screw up. I'm not dumb. I didn't screw up. I'm the old sorry that you couldn't find what you were looking for. Now about those inventory logs, I can show you the exact claw fraction I noted the item was missing if you'd like. I flicked my ear bases once more and stood behind Staxic as he typed, leaning against the ridiculously proportioned backrest of his chair as he did so. What he showed me was about as much as I had expected. About a paw before the murder, Staxic had noticed the missing methanol bag. He also showed me the multiple requests he'd put into the security system to have the missing item investigated, but all he received in response were denial after denial. That certainly isn't going to look good for the branch in court. Once I had gleaned all I could from the data, I placed my pad atop the workstation to begin transferring the files to submit to evidence. Thank you again for your cooperation, I thanked Staxic as I waited for the process to complete. Again, if you ever feel as pressed as you were before, don't hesitate to call us. My associate, he's well rather known for taking on unconventional cases. Oh, is that so? If I didn't know any better, I'd say you got that Himalovan guy. Did you see that he got a human out of court in another district? I couldn't believe it when I first saw it. He looked up at me, probably expecting me to jest in turn. However, the hesitation I displayed whilst trying to think of something to say was more than enough to tip him off. Oh, heard he's your associate, isn't he? Well, if anyone can prove some kind of conspiracy against any lassie, it'd probably be him. Ah, yeah, I reluctantly agreed, seeing no better option. With everything you've told me, though, it's looking more and more like this was majorly premeditated. With only 4 Colchians in the building, though, it couldn't be many other people. Limits our search drastically. 4. Staxic asked, looking away in thought for a moment. I thought I counted 5. 5. Staxic, what do you mean by 5? I asked quickly, lowering myself to his level. If he was remembering correctly, that would mean that. No, wait, those two were the same person, he said, quickly counting again and nodding. Yeah, just 4 in the building. 3 women and a guy. Sorry, I had to think for a second. That's alright, I lied, trying to mask my disappointment as I stood back up. Thank you for all your time. Oh, and just in case you wouldn't happen to know when the security on floor 2 would be on their break claw, would you? This poor. I think it's right now, actually, Staxic responded, alleviating the disappointment that had attempted to root itself in my psyche. Thank you again, have a good poor. I bid the Passet certificate as I made my way back towards the elevator. It was much easier finding my way back to them than it was coming out from them, and I was headed to the second floor before much longer. When the door opened, I waited briefly to avoid any suspicion and slipped out at the last second. I really don't want to end up on Dick's bad side again. The hallway was not only free of humans but also free of most of the doctors and nurses as well. It made sense that when the humans had their break, the majority of the staff on the same floor would as well, except for one direction where it sounded like there were people talking. However, as I approached my destination, I realized that the voices were coming from the room I was heading towards. You don't know how to handle this, it's my job to handle this. Well, you weren't gonna do it. Someone had to stand up to help. Do you even realize what you've opened us up to? I know exactly what I opened us up to, and I'm more than happy to face the consequences. I shook my head in confusion, but my tail was already wagging in anticipation. Had I stumbled across something? A conflict between doctors? The voices were still arguing heatedly as I tapped the door's release function, sliding the thing aside to see what I had caught. Was someone. Oh, it was a television. Of course it was a television. The interior of the room was uninhabited save for its patient director Sashov. The druggie was still in his bed staring hard at what looked to be a medical drama currently playing. Wait, I recognize that crackle. He was still binging that romance series we had left him to watch last Paul. It was one of the later seasons, one I remember watching rotations ago. If I remembered the episodes correctly, he'd have had to watch basically non-stop to get this far so fast. I didn't understand what would let someone do nothing but watch a show for claws on end instead of doing something with your herd or stars, anyone for that matter. Must be what he got diagnosed over. Ace sighed, closing the door behind me so I wouldn't be easily interrupted in my questioning for however useful that turned out to be. The man didn't even react to my presence as I grabbed a chair and brought it closer to his bed. Hello, I greeted, pressing my ear bases against my head to stay professional. I'm Sir, you might remember me from earlier before Dick dragged you away. I was hoping we could continue our earlier conversation. I waited for a response, even an ear flick of acknowledgement, but I received no such thing from him. I guess I should have known a druggie wouldn't have much useful to say. Though now that I was closer, I noticed that he looked quite different than when I last saw them. Their wool had been mostly sheared to the skin, taking with it all the mold and stains that had taken to living upon it. The only part that remained was a pink tuft atop their head, which looked to be a dye as opposed to another strain of mold. Oh, hello. I tried again, trying to lean into his field of view. I even waved a paw in front of him in an attempt to deter his attention. Despite my attempts to resolve the issue passively, however, nothing seemed to work. That only left me with one option. I reached for the remote and shut off the screen entirely, leaving the room in an empty silence. Only did the druggie seem to react. Pull. He asked sluggishly, turning his head slowly to the right and then back to the left. It was only after doing so that he seemed to notice me, partially clouded eyes widening in surprise. Pull. Who are you? You're not a doctor. I had to stop myself from sighing. Of course he was far too out of it to even recognize who I was. Why did Vemric think that he'd get anything of use out of this druggie? In the interest of ensuring that I could say I tried everything I could with a clean conscience, I forced myself to respond. No, I'm not. My name is Sol, we met last Paul. You ran into the lobby and were dragged back here by security. Oh yeah. I think I remember something like that, Sashov replied spaciously. If it weren't for the tone of his voice, I might have been concerned that he was stressed from how unfocused his eyes were. I sometimes do stuff like that when I'm off the meds they give me. Or if I find meds. Heath, they say I shouldn't, but it stops the hurting, he giggled. I could tell he was going off track, so I leaned in to redirect. Yes, in any case. You had said something about a caution the other day, and I wanted to collect your statement for the court record. I would ask you to act as witness, but I doubt someone in your state should be out of constant surveillance, I lied. I had no desire to see this man on the stand whatsoever, but stating as much wouldn't be very polite. Granted, I had no reason to be polite, it was just the two of us, but I personally hold my civility in relatively high regard. Out of surveillance, he whistled, they always wanted the cameras on me. Eyes always on me, never just me, never in charge of myself. He turned a cloudy eye towards me. I showed them. They made me take things down my throat, but I am in charge of me again. I can be only me when I want. Only be seen when I want. He leaned over it as if holding a grand secret. I am very sneaky. I sighed. This was officially a waste of time. He was just a druggie, completely useless to us in any state. I took a breath to steady myself, my ears pressing against my head as I did so. I would have to say this guy could do nothing for us, and she used to do that too, you know. I almost jumped in surprise. His voice that had just before been windy and light was now steady and serious. He had his head turned directly towards me, staring with both his eyes. Despite myself, I froze under it, trying to formulate a response and failing. Your ears, he continued, she would press them to her head when she wanted to be serious. People said she was weird for it, but that's just how she worked. I blinked, still trying to grapple with the sudden personality shift. What, who is she? Lindles, he whistled, I was gonna marry her. She was smart, amazing. We could sit and talk for hours, then sit together for hours more in silence. I had a ribbon all picked out for her to wear until we could make a proper V like it. He leaned back in his bed, staring at nothing. It was pink. She loved pink. It looked so good on her light brown wool. Like a blooming flower on a tree. Pink. I looked up at the tuft on his head, the only bit of his wool that remained unshaven being that very same color. That couldn't be a coincidence, but another thought came to me. Perhaps I could keep this moment of seeming lucidity going if I questioned him more about this, leading towards something more useful to the investigation all the while. Is that why you have that patch of dyed wool on your own coat? It reminds me of her whenever I see my reflection. I don't see it that often anymore, Sasha continued, still looking out into space. We were in a bar. It was a busy night, more people than usual. Someone tried to grab her, but I didn't let him. I was surprised to hear that he had protected someone in the past. I remembered what Fenric had said about the facilities pumping people full of drugs, but a part of me had still believed that there was an aspect of that prior to his conviction. What did you do? I asked, waiting for my opportunity to steer the conversation back on track. He tried to keep going after I pushed him away. So I headbutted him and we left. He was a kid of some rich family with ties to the exterminators, Sasha recounted, his tone sounding more sad now than anything. They barely even talked to me before diagnosing me. I knew it was him pressuring the office, but who listened to a predator disease patient? I haven't seen her in so long. Do you remember how long ago this was? The officers involved. Who the groper was? I asked, more sincerely, seeing as if this man was falsely diagnosed as he claimed it had likely be Talon scale blow to the office responsible for his incarceration. This also foggy. I just remember her face as I was being dragged away, he said. She looked so sad. I was sad too, and scared and angry, but mostly sad. They put me through treatments, a lot of them hurt. They went on for a long time, but I can't tell you how long, until they decided I was too much work. They gave me a drug, one from another facility. It made me feel floaty, which was better than feeling sad, so I started to take it on my own. Apparently they liked that, so they kept giving me more, up until I got kicked out. Is that what led you here? To this hospital? His ears fell. No. I saw what happened. So much time. So it hurts. I can't stop think, why did they make her? It hurts. What happened? I urged, unable to keep in my curiosity. What happened to me? He choked. She knew that what they did was wrong. She got mad at that family, at the exterminators. They put her into somewhere different, where they. He stopped talking bravely, catching his breath. She got zapped for her anger. They had her zapped and she died. I didn't even know it happened until they threw me out. Why did they have to show me she died? It hurts. Why they hurt us? Why they hurt us? We didn't do anything. Zapped. A could put the pieces together as he laid back, tears rolling down his face. A young man flirting with his mate and sent to a facility on the whims of someone more powerful than him. Then when the woman kept on rebuffing the boy, she got sent somewhere when she finally lashed out. And then they put her on a regime of electric fear stimulation, but something goes wrong. And then he hears. No wonder he's on drugs. I'm not sure I wouldn't try to numb myself to the world as well. I tried to speak, but I simply didn't have the words to say. What could I say? I'm sorry you and your mate were falsely imprisoned. I'm sorry that the love of your life died trying to defend you. At this point I was convinced of the fact that anything I could say wouldn't be enough, not anywhere close to it. But anything is better than nothing. I'm sorry. Sasha blinked through his tears and turned to look at me, his cloudy eyes seeming clearer somehow. You thank you. You're the first one to really listen. The other one pretended to care, but I could tell he never did. I tilted my ears in confusion. What? Who's he? The Koshin who stood in my door a couple paws ago. If my ears could have stood straight up, they would have. This was what I was looking for in the first place, and I didn't even have to steer him. All I had to do was hear him out like I would have anyone else. Now I feel bad for characterizing him so poorly. There was a Koshin standing in your door. What did he look like? Like the doctors. The doctors in the facility, Sash murmured, his movement becoming more lax once more. They pretend to care. He pretended like them. He wore a long lab coat like he was a doctor, but he didn't like it when I called him that. Didn't like it when I knew what he was. And what was he? I asked earnestly, hoping that the pink tufted Venlil could give me just the slightest lead more. A killer. Like the doctors who killed Lintel. They pretend to care but don't care if they kill. He doesn't care. He's just like them. And you're certain that he's a he, not a female? I pressed Sasha further, trying to squeeze the last of what he was saying out of him. But that won't happen when I'm in charge. Sasha suddenly shouted, causing me to almost yelp in surprise. Not when I'm the director, no. No time, it'll all be better once they let me out to run this place good. Sasha was yelling now, struggling against the restraints that kept him tied to the bed. Panicking, I quickly stood and tried to shush him, but I might as well have been trying to quiet an avalanche. There won't be drugs or bad food or electricity pain. Just hugs and tails and strove for all. Hey, what's going on in there? An all too familiar growl sounded through the door. I could feel my heart racing as I heard stumping footsteps approach the door. In a desperate bid, I dove behind his table to hide myself from the stone wall of human that I knew was fast approaching. I heard the door slide open, and I was suddenly very thankful that my ears couldn't stand on end in fear. What the hell's got you all riled up this time? Dick asked the still ranting Venlil. It'll have arcade games. And shoulders to cry on. And movie theaters. and livable wages for the workers. Sashov continued to shout to my displeasure. You gotta let me out. This place needs it, needs me. I'll make IT the best place in the galaxy. Let me out. I'm the director, you can't keep me in here. Shit, where's the damn remote those bozos used to make him shut up before? I heard Dick ask, hearing drawers open and slam shut from the other side of the table. I covered my mouth in a desperate hope that maybe, just maybe, the muscled human wouldn't look on the other side of the "what in the fuck are you doing back here?" I bleated out as I scurried away from the noise, feeling a cold metal handle slam into my back. I yelped out in pain as I looked up helplessly at Dick approaching me. So this is how I die. I always thought I'd go in my sleep, or maybe eaten by an arzer worst case. This is not how I thought it'd go. I felt myself being lifted by my scruff, my legs and arms feeling weak as I was face to face with the burly security guard. I thought, I told ya and your partner, I fucker not to show your faces round here again. This how he's getting back at me. By Mackin drugs, my G here, go off the fucking rails. Dot and I'll fire you and rehire you because you need a job. Sashov continued in his ranting, the episode of lucidity he had undergone clearly over. Honestly, I'm not entirely sure which one I'd rather be around at this moment in time. I opened my mouth to try and explain myself, but I realized that we were already out the door and in front of the elevator. Sweat our god, all you legal tights are the damn same. Dick chastised me as the elevator door slid open upon its arrival. He pressed the button for the underground lot where I had arrived before growling at me and displaying his teeth in a very much not a smile. Oh stars. Just Rina make the lives of us commoners harder, eh? Don't surprise me one bit, filthy fucking defense lawyers. All you'll do is defend guilty people less they're innocent, I suppose, he shouted at me as our elevator car arrived in the lobby where I saw. Oh come on now, you're awake. Legal Legends 9. Memory Transcript, Femric Fenler Lawyer Extraordinaire. Date Standardized Human Time November 13th, 2136. Alert Unconscious Mind Activity Recorded at Designated Playback Point. Skip to next conscious playback point. Y/N. Initiating Dream Playback Functionality Done. Playing. I stared into my rival's eyes, pressing my horns against his as I pushed them back. He had killed a member of the herd, mocked me and my mission. Nobody else was standing up, it was all up to me to do so. I thrashed my head, digging my claws into the ground as I pressed against the rival. The enemy. Rib back. Some horns. Raise claws. Swipe. They were moving. I was winning. Oblique. The enemy was behind me, raising a hammer to smash the one I was charged with protecting into paste. I bounded into their back, kicking them as hard as I could. The shade circle leapt as I landed on it, and I wrapped my arms around its neck as it desperately thrashed in an attempt to buck me off, pulling, driving it to the ground away from the vulnerable. The pillion panted as I tried to knock him out. He purred, mocking me. Oh, you love to show off. It will be your downfall, you know. Right when you make a show of defending the wrong person. I grabbed his scruff, finally shoving him out the door. He was out of my life. I wouldn't go back to that. I wouldn't let others get hurt again. I would help. I would. Earth consciousness fragmentation. Cow waking state change. Reverting to regular playback. I am angry. I sat up huffing and ready to headbutt someone. That someone unfortunately turned out to be something, as my movements were more like a jump. I heard the dunk of metal as my head collided with the hover transit ceiling. It didn't hurt, but it certainly caused a shock to go through my system. The fog of sleep quickly faded thanks to my impromptu stress test of my vehicle structural integrity, replaced by awareness of my surroundings. I was still in my hover transit and I had been reacting to a dream. That makes sense, okay. I shook my head, fudging my small mane of wool and letting out a yawn before looking around. Where's Searle? The last thing I remembered before losing consciousness was my new business partner reviewing the evidence in the seat across from me, but now the vehicle was completely empty aside from me. Upon standing to exit, I also realized the external scenery was also completely different, yet somehow familiar. Are we back at the hospital? I slid open the door and stepped out, careful to close and lock it behind me. True to my initial belief, we were back in the subterranean parking area we had used last port when we had met with Camera and Dick. Given that we were not here prior to my sleeping and Searle was nowhere to be found, I had it in good faith that she decided to continue collecting evidence without me. I suppose I should applaud her tenacity and willingness to do what needs to be done, but I was equally disappointed that he hadn't bothered to wake me. Taking a peek at my pad, I discovered that I had been asleep for almost 3/4 of a claw. That's a quarter more than I usually get, so I'll take that as a win. As I walked through the dimly lit parking areas, I saw that the camera maintenance was still ongoing. A flash in my mind reminded me of the argument that Searle and I had regarding the ladder. Knowing what we know now, plus whatever Searle was able to glean during my absence, it seemed silly to me that we had even thought of such a thing. A man was murdered and we were caught up on ladders. It's still just a ladder though. The automatic doors slid open to admit me once more. It was only then when I entered that I realized I didn't really have an idea for why I was going in. I knew part of it was to see if I could find where Syl went, but the rest of it was just my brain going into a post-waking autopilot. An instinctive response to find something to channel the feelings of anger I had woken with. Well, there was one thing I could do to fix that: get a caffeinated drink and some first meal to go with it. A brain can't run without fuel, and it's proven science that a full belly tends to reduce anger. Thankfully, it appeared that the receptionist wasn't present at their desk at the moment, so there was one less innocent person around to take the brunt of my angered self at the moment. Short, it was annoying that I would need to look for a building map to see where the cafeteria was, but I could deal with it. I've dealt with way bracking worse. Now, where was that map? Check by the elevators, you hungry lawyer. I rolled my eyes at my own thoughts. True to my own intuition, the map was indeed posted beside the elevator. I was grateful to see that I wouldn't have to risk running into anyone in the elevator, as the cafeteria was on the first floor as well. Following the directions on the smartboard, I was easily able to find my way through the halls towards my first meal. Upon sliding open the door, I was met with a moderate cacophony of chatter from within, confirming that I was in the right place. Not wanting to draw any undue attention to myself, I quickly strode over to the food dispensers and perused the options. Bunt leaf salad, crunch cakes, ground root soup, bol hm. What's this? I ended up pressing the option labeled waffles, curious as to what would emerge. The machine whirred for a moment, preparing the meal within its internal mechanisms before a plate emerged from it. Stacked on top were a couple of moderately sized discs of what looked to be some kind of stray art that meant this must be one of the foods the humans brought over. The screen prompted me for one more option between fruit jelly, tree syrup, or nothing. I opted for the fruit jelly, as I wasn't quite certain that anything that came from a tree that wasn't its fruit would be that tasty. A few small packets were unceremoniously dropped next to the waffles without as much as a second of delay. Efficiency, I guess. I took my plate from the machine and scouted the room to see where the best place to sit would be. I didn't see the receptionist anywhere, so it was safe to assume that he wasn't on his lunch break. However, I did see something interesting, or rather someone. A Koshin was sitting alone at a far table, sipping a bowl of warm soup in front of him. They were covered in garments, including a standard work coat, but the covering they wore atop their head was unfamiliar to me. However, the fact they were wearing a covering at all was notable. Perhaps they'll have some more information regarding Enilas's character. It's likely they worked together at one point. I made my way through the cafetorium until I had reached the table. By that point, the Koshin had seemed to notice my approach, eyeing me up until I was within speaking distance. Excuse me, but are any of these seats taken? I asked politely. Not at all, young man, the Koshin replied, the sound of his voice betraying his more advanced age. He gestured for me to sit, and so sit I did. I set down my waffles and jelly on the table, which he appeared confused over. Hey Chen, how come you didn't get the syrup? I'm sorry, I questioned, peeling open one of the jelly packets. Those waffles the humans brought, they're best served with a tree syrup. Believe me, I was skeptical at first. How good could a tree syrup be after all? Well, let me just say that my life was changed for the better upon trying it. He chuckled to himself before taking another sip of his soup. I catalogued that tidbit for future reference, but my choice of condiment had already been sealed. I poured a bit of the bright red jelly onto my waffle and took a bite. Even without the supposedly life-changing syrup that the Koshin had described, I could immediately recognize the value in this dish. It was simultaneously soft yet crisp, the checkered pattern indented into the center, creating pockets for the jam to self-isolate into. I crunched the slightly sweet dough in my mouth for a while before swallowing, my hunger partially sated. Well, if it's that much better than the jelly, I suppose I'll have to try that next. Thank you for the recommendation, I trailed off, waiting for the Koshin to introduce himself. Where are my manners? He chastised himself before bowing his head. Calden, a head medical advisor here at this branch of the Zeno Medical Grand Complex. A pleasure to meet you. Vemrick, then the pleasure is mine, I assured Calden before I took another bite of my waffles. They were slightly difficult to eat with my paws, as the crumbs seemed determined to gum up my wall. Perhaps I should have gotten a retour set from the nearby table. Calden seemed taken aback by my name, meaning that he recognized me. Perhaps he had heard of my past exploits or even my current case. It'd be hard not to, seeing as he presumably worked in this branch. Perhaps I missed his name on the employment manifest in my sleeplessness. Vemrick. Isn't that Vemrick the lawyer? That would be me, I answered with pride. How is it you came to hear of me? That drunk human you got out of trouble for getting drunk and pussy with that Venil woman. Upon reading the headlines, they thought such a thing would be nigh on impossible, but I'll assume that I wasn't told the full story by the news. He huffed and took another sip of his soup. It wouldn't be the first time we were lied to, as I'm sure you're well aware. Omnivores. I ventured a guess. Omnivores, Caldana responded with a sigh. Ever since that came to light, people have been quite polarized on how they treat my species. Some regard us with such disgust you'd think that I personally turned each last omnivore prey like myself. And then there are the people who praise you for it, which is awful in an entirely different way. I'd imagined I responded upon swallowing my most recent bite of waffle, already having devoured one of the two discs provided to me. It must be difficult having so many see you as either monsters who altered innocent species or traitors who brought predators into the midst of prey. Both sides bearing down on your species like that can't be pleasant. Note it hasn't been, especially with the news so fresh in people's minds, Kaldner said, downing the last of his soup with a hearty gulp before setting his now empty bowl down. I'm afraid that Enelas's actions haven't done much to aid our public image. He looked up at me from across the table. That is why you're here, yes. I was slightly surprised by his perception, having not told him anything about Enelasi at all. That would be correct, yes. Gossip around the office. Hardly, the elderly Kolshin chuckled. A murder occurred not a quarter herd of paws ago, and now you're here in the cafeteria. It doesn't take a genius to deduce why you're here. Now what I don't know is whether you're here on behalf of or against Enelasi. But I stated, swallowing yet another bite of waffle. The confection was disappearing faster than I would have liked, but at least it tasted good. I can suppose that you had a feeling about that, though. Kaldna smiled at me, chuckling under his breath. Given what I know, Ephus, I'll say that I did. That and the whole Talin debacle all those rotations ago. What's it been now, 3-4? Just a bit over 3.5 rotations ago from this date, I answered truthfully. It's nice to hear that people haven't forgotten that. How could I? I was on Venal Prime when it happened, he replied. I remember reading the headlines clear as day. The chief exterminator of the Dawn Creek office had to resign. That's not exactly an event you easily forget, Kaldna joked. Speaking of, how's the boy Talin? I haven't heard anything about him since that poor. He's doing well, we've kept in loose contact, I said, wagging my tail at the remembrance of my greatest accomplishment. But to recenter the conversation, you know why I'm here. Could you tell me anything about Enelasi? Her character, her work ethic, anything of the sort. Oh, she was a lovely young woman, Kaldna reminisced, always willing to help others with their work clothes even at the expense of herself. I could have never assumed that she'd be capable of something like, well, like what she did. Did you get any inkling of why she'd commit such a heinous crime in your talks with her? Not exactly, I answered divertively, not wanting to jeopardize her confidentiality so haphazardly. Our talks have been rather brief and she hasn't divulged any information of particular use. That's partially why I'm asking you, so I can get a better idea of who I'm dealing with from an outside perspective. I'm afraid I've said all I know, Venric, Kaldna responded apologetically, the head covering he was wearing drawing my attention away from his face. Such a shame, the kind of person she turned out to be, and right before her promotion too. We never interacted face to face, but I'm certain that you'll be able to bring justice to the poor soul she snuffed out. You seem like a good man, he complimented me. I would certainly hope so, I replied with a little more candor that I intended taking my last bite of waffle to stop any further unwanted doubts from manifesting. As I chewed though, my curiosity got the better of me once more and I couldn't help but ask. Wash with a head covering. HM. Oh, this is what the humans call a baseball cap, Kaldna replied cheerily, readjusting its position on his head as he spoke. Apparently it was first worn by people to improve visibility while playing a sport in which you hit a ball with a stick and run around a field afterwards. I've seen snippets of games, it's surprisingly non-violent considering its inventors. A seat, I replied, I don't suppose that you'd be looking to join in given your choice of attire. Oh no, I'm far too old to be running about anywhere other than the halls of the medical center. A laugh jolly, the wrinkles on his face contorting with his movements. I just think it's neat. Besides, it sets me apart, don't you think? I can't claim the contrary, I affirmed before standing with my plate satisfied that I had bothered Kaldna enough. Well, thank you again for taking the time to discuss with me. Your insight has been a great help. I'm just glad to have been of assistance, the Kolshin replied jovially whilst waving his tentacle at me in farewell. Good luck in your defense. You'll certainly need it. I disposed of my plate as I left the room, eager to restart my search somewhere more productive. Perhaps I could even find Searle. Those hopes were dashed when I heard a bleat sound from behind the receptionist's desk as I re-entered the lobby. Right him. Yes, sir. I don't think you're the supposed to be here anymore. Oven, why's that? They pointedly answered, spinning around to better face the receptionist. Finally someone I can let out my anger on. You are aware of the law, yes? Impeding the collection of evidence by a licensed law practitioner is a punishable offense. But fines, probation, and most importantly termination from employment until a set number of paws are up, I listed rapidly, trying to shake his resolve. I should hope that you're not looking to incur any of those outcomes. The receptionist shrunk in their seat, looking at me with fear. assert your honor and no entry list right. Hey Mr. Whitus. A suddenly heard a rumbling voice echo from where the elevators were. The receptionist's eyes went wide and he immediately cowered under their desk. Confused, I looked around only to see you note I really should be more careful when I thought about finding Searle. You never know how they're going to come true. She's with you, yeah. Dick came stumbling into the thankfully empty lobby with Searle grabbed by the scruff in his large primate hands. Perhaps he can match my energy better. I straightened myself and marched over to meet him, something that he clearly wasn't expecting. Cheese, yes. Would you mind telling me why you're handling her in such a disappointing way? I caught her snooping around back on the fourth floor after I specifically told you twos to never come back here. Hiding behind a patient's bed got M all riled up about the director shit again. What's the matter with the both of you? He narrowed his eyes and jabbed a finger in my face. Was it you who set her up to it, huh? Did you? I can safely say that whatever she has done was of her own volition, Mr. Penis, I replied, using the genitalia in place of his actual name purposefully. His eyes widened and I could see veins bulging in his forehead as Searle watched us both still as a statue. That doesn't change the fact that the way you're handling her is not only entirely unprofessional but also illegal under the Sapient Rights Act. Unhand her now, or so help me, I will sue you so hard that you'll have to pay in earth money. He and I were locked in a staring contest for an uncomfortable while, but I didn't let the stern expression on my face waver for even a moment. This was a gamble attempting to outdominate a predator, but I had to admit that it was satisfying to talk to someone how I wanted to. After the longest seconds of my life, Dick growled and threw Searle to the ground. She fell to her side seemingly unharmed other than the shock of the fall. Dick crossed his arms in front of him, spreading his lips in what I could handily assume wasn't a display of happiness like the smiles were. You're both on a no-entry list, which the receptionist should have enforced. If I see you two coming into here again to cause more trouble, ain't no lawsuits gonna keep me from tossing you's asses to the fucking curb, you hear me? Crystal speaking clear, if I replied, matching the human's aggression. Seeing that the situation was resolved, Dick huffed pointedly at me and marched back towards the elevator, slamming the internal screen to return to his post. Once he was out of the picture, I ducked down to help Searle off the ground. Searle, are you alright? Yes, I'll be fine, she said, the receptionist poking his head up above the counter in the background. I'm sorry that I went in alone, but I didn't want to disturb your rest. There are some things that I found out that you should know. Not here, that I shushed her, looking around. The camera in the corner of the room was pointed directly at us from underneath its partially reflective covering. If you found anything of importance, you can tell me back in the hover transits along with why Gunshu was antagonizing you. Her ears felt clearly embarrassed by having been caught by the security guard. I swung my tail behind her and tapped her legs to urge her back to the hover transit. Frankly, I think she should be embarrassed. The two times I've had to sneak in somewhere, I at least knew the guard rotation scheduling before, brought along with an actual exit plan, of course. Searle would have to learn that she won't be welcome anywhere that matters quickly, especially if she wants to stick around in my line of work. But that's a lesson for the future. Right now, it was time to see what, if anything, my assistant has discovered. Hopefully it was more than a nice conversation. Legal Legends 10. Memory Transcripts Searle Lawyer Extraordinaire Apprentice. Date Standardized Human Time November 14, 2136. And then Sash claimed that there was a caution standing in his doorframe right before the time of the murder. I relayed to Vemrick, who was sitting across from me with a bemused expression. We were still in a subterranean parking garage, our next stop being a police station to question Enelasi and prepare her for the trial upcoming in a couple of pours. Despite the looming deadline though, Vemrick still seemed less than impressed by my discovery. The words he exchanged with Dick still rung in my mind from a few minutes beforehand, with him having to all but drag me out of the hospital after my failed attempt at stealth. I hadn't known that Vemrick was capable of matching wits with a human, but it seemed to be a foregone conclusion once I put some thought into it. If anyone could match the sheer wildness of an angry human, it would be Vemrick. Alright, any further details? Vemrick asked, obviously still not happy from his own incursion being cut short from my non-consensual arrival in the lobby. They were a man. I said, stressing my words in an attempt to jog Femric's memory. When all I got was a blank stare, I realized that such hopes were beyond the scope of reality. I sighed, gesturing towards the evidence. If you'd pull up the employment list, please. Femric reluctantly did so, projecting the names in the air between us. I moved back to the desk, configuring the list to sort by species and pulling up cautions. Only four names were present, and there was a deciding trait between all of them. Notice anything in particular? Vemrick took a moment to review the list, his focus scanning over the list before his ears rose. If only one of these is a male. Exactly. I whistled, which means we just have to find a connection that could place him on the same floor and we'd have our reasonable doubt right there. As he listened, he continued to stare at the list. After a moment, an odd look appeared on his face. Wait, where's Caldener? There's no Caldener on this list. WHA started before realizing something. Wait, hold on. Did you speak to this Caldener? Yes, I did. Venrik started himself but quickly trailed off as his likely still sleep-addled brain put the pieces together. No, that couldn't be. Caldener wasn't over. He slammed a fist on the table in anger, to my surprise. And I told him my name too. What? I urged. What do you mean? Who's Caldener? A Kaushian, he answered, angry, pulling on one of his ears. A male Kaushian who isn't on this list. Who we have no knowledge or timeline for, that is working in the building. All I could muster was a dumbfounded look as I took in what I had just learned. Not only did Venrik find who could perhaps be the only person without an alibi for that date, but he let slip word of our investigation. Any shame I had regarding my slip-up with security was immediately erased by utter indignation. Venrik, you can't be serious. Why would you tell him who you are? I just awoke from my first proper sleep in I don't even know how long, and I immediately go and do something stupid like this, Venrik said as he paced back and forth within the confines of the vehicle. What? You going to leave the hover transit in front of a restaurant again? You gonna leave it unlocked? He did. It sounded almost more like he was talking to himself more than he was acknowledging me. Those thoughts were given credence when he raised his ears and looked over at me. Did you ask me something just now, Syl? He really is just full of himself, isn't he? I sighed, letting my tail droop in a similar manner to my ears. No, not at all. In any case, we need to figure out exactly who this Caldener is, why he was in the branch to begin with, and if he could have any motive to commit the crime. Did you at least get any of that in your discussion? He labeled himself as the head medical advisor, meaning he's mostly independent from that particular hospital. He huffed, his tail twitching. Prejudice? No, can't be only that. He'd have done more than one. Or just riled up an extreme exterminator and pointed them at someone. Spey. The cave motive is a mystery for now. Though he had a human hat. I cocked my head, uncertain about the relevance of that pot. He's able to wear it in public, Ferrick continued, and he made a point of explaining his history and saying it makes him stand out. Humgod, not enough. He stomped, huffing in frustration. Brakt, I should have been more suspicious. Pride mold not make small talk. He's a Kaushian for Sogalik's sake. I should have suspected him by default. That made me press my ears back in discomfort. You're heading into species profiling there. I mean, what about the other Kaushians on the board? There are several directing the XGC in general. Then they are suspects too. He declared. Kaushians in charge passing blame to a subordinate and denying involvement or even presence in the scene. They're just like the officers, how could I miss that? He was spiraling. It was like he was heading into a warman's stampede, his tail lashing and huffing like mad. For the second time this port, I was in the position to attempt to calm a man who was freaking out. But this time it was my boss. What a career path I've chosen. I should have known after learning about what they did to all those species. It was the humans and their allies that were responsible for this. Of course, most Kaushians would want payback. Sogalik above, I'll bet they all know. They're just covering it up to ensure one of their own doesn't. Okay, that's enough. I stand, my ears still pressing against my head as I steeled myself. Haze, I bleated out in the middle of his tirade, name five things you see. Vemric froze, his expression shift into confusion. What? I said to name five things you see. Right now, look around and name them. It was a gamble. When the humans had given their data dump, I, like many Venild, had read through it regarding information about how to deal with one that was under stress. I was honestly surprised to find that they were all about helping the person who was stressed, but the search did procure some good advice. Near the top of the list was this technique, but I could only hope I would work on non-humans as well. Eilf Vemric sputtered a little, his ears twitching in confusion. Your collar. My mini-fridge. The ladder outside a metal brand listed as compatible with a majority of Federation body types and is listed under the ladder category rather than stepladder. I blinked, seeing the ladder still leaning on the wall outside through the window. But more importantly, did you really look that up in an attempt to debate more about it? No comment, he huffed, but with a faint whistle of laughter behind it. As a can of 10% alcohol human-made beer I need to toss, and my 1.5 exabyte 0.27 nm Nevok Mevtech brand portable server. It was interesting to see him getting so specific with his descriptions at the end. I was gonna take that as a good sign that I had succeeded in getting him out of his mental doom spiral. Agathe, I breathed, glad to have you back. You feeling better? Venrik swayed a little in thought. Yeah, I suppose I am. Thanks for that, okay. He waved his arms and took a seat in a chair. Even though I was going a bit overboard at the end, the problem still stands. We have the presence of Kaushians in the building that none of the authorities have documented nor investigated, and they know I'm defending Nilhassi. So they can easily try and set up or rehearse a cover story to deflect blame. As I co-audited his words, an idea popped into my mind. Wait, why don't we just ask Enelasi about him? If he's been working in the building for even a herd of paws, she'll likely have at least interacted with him. A good idea, but that still doesn't fix our issues, Fenric retorted, despite already buckling himself in. We still need to establish an alibi for Enelasi, which is all but impossible. We need to press her for every detail we can if we have any chance of winning this. If this is because of who I think he trailed off as he input the coordinates of the police station. You mean Caldana, right? I asked as I strapped myself in as well. From how you talked about him before, he seemed like he treated you well enough, and there's still that other employee. Him being absent from the employee registry doesn't help his case though. Fenric huffed as we lifted into the air, racing back to Enelasi for answers. As much as I panicked, we will have to put most of our focus on Enelasi. She's the one being framed, so I think trying to find an alibi should be our first priority. I flicked my ears in agreement as the cityscape rushed below us. I don't know if it was thought or stress that made it so, but it felt like no time at all until we arrived. We left the hover transit in the lot as we had before, but this time Fenric didn't even seem to check the surrounding vehicles. I knew he said to focus on Enelasi, but I didn't realize how seriously he'd take that statement. As we entered, I saw there was a man at the reception desk this time. That was good. I didn't want to have to see that woman get pressured yet again by Fenric. Still, he still unhesitatingly strode up to introduce himself nevertheless. Good poor sir. M. Fenric, lawyer to Enelasi, here to see her to prepare her defense. Could you arrange for a meeting with her post-haste? The Venal huffed. Visiting hours for the prisoners are over. It's their sleep call. Come back later. Fenric's eye twitched, breathing in as if to speak, but he stopped. He felt his attention turn to me as his head turned. Sir, would you like to explain to this man the necessity of this task? Unsure as to why he's offloading this task to me, actually I knew exactly why. I wasn't much keen on cussing out a police officer either, to be honest. I took a short breath and prepared my case. We have urgent need to talk to our client in order to provide ample time for us to construct our defense. If you could arrange a meeting, we'd be very appreciative. The new receptionist raised his ears and briefly looked between us. Finally, he sighed and spoke into his communicator. Inmate 592 to visiting room. Yes, wake them up. I know, but her lawyers are here for her, saying it's urgent. Okay, thanks. He put his communicator down and looked at me. You've got 15 minutes. After what he said to Pelshad, you're lucky you're getting that, he said while glaring pointedly at Fenric. Just head on in, we'll bring her there. Once your time is up, you are out, no ifs, ands, or buts, got it. Fenric's ear twitched. He likely caught how these terms were honestly illegal to impose on us. While it wasn't seen as proper for lawyers to spend clause on end conversing with their clients, the time they gave us was way too short. I'm sorry, I protested, we will likely need more than that. Too bad you aren't getting more than 10 minutes in there. Now get going. Well, that's less time. I huffed and grabbed Fenric by the paw, dragging him away before he burst a blood vessel from that same injustice. We'll be out in 15 minutes and not a second earlier. Good poor sir. I put a little more vitriol into that than I meant to, but I wasn't exactly pleased with him trying to skimp us on even more time. I marched us both down the corridor towards the meeting room, fuming to myself to the point I had my ears pressed against my head. I couldn't tell if it was more because of how annoyed I was or my attempt to keep my professional appearance. Regardless, when we reached the room, it was still empty. I had no doubt in my mind that the guards intended to enforce that time limit, so I turned to Fenric and let out a quick huff. Right then. We should probably have our questions ready for her when she arrives. Any ideas on phrasing? He was about to answer when the door on the other side of the room opened. Two figures walked through, the guard and Enelasi. She seemed in considerably better condition compared to our first meeting, but I didn't want captivity to become her new normal. Sir, Fenric, it's good to see you again, she greeted as she took her seat. It's a little unusual for you to visit me twice in a port, but I'll take it that means you found some new information to share with me. A few things, Fenric said with a wag as he took his seat. First and foremost, I trust that your treatment has remained satisfactory since last we spoke. It wasn't that long ago, but I'm not too eager to trust some of these people to maintain their word. The security guard in the corner visibly stiffened at Fenric's words, either afraid of what Enelasi might say or more likely incensed by the implication of untrustworthiness. Enelasi, for her part, didn't seem much dissuaded from talking. Oh, they've been treating me just fine. Better than they would, at least. Whatever you did to make that happen, thank you again. It's my pleasure, Fenric replied as he leaned up against the table. Now for the actual questions we have to ask you. According to the employment report that you've given us, there are four Kolshian employees at the branch of the Xeno Medical Grand Complex you were assigned to. To your knowledge, is that record accurate? Yes. She confirmed hesitantly, her voice seeming more confused than concerned. Why wouldn't it be? I haven't been there long enough to really get to know anyone, but I have met the other three Koshins there in passing. I didn't seek them out or anything, just passing acknowledgement between our duties. HMIC Venric mused as he tapped some notes onto his pad. Very well. Now, are you aware of any individuals by the name of Kaldana? Someone who might have worked at that facility. Perhaps someone you would know outside of work. A brief flash of recognition flashed in her eyes, but it was quickly replaced by confusion. You're going to need to be more specific. It was now our turn to be confused. More specific. I'm sorry, I interjected, taking my seat beside Venric. What do you mean, more specific? Do you know an individual by that name or not? No, I do, Venilasi clarifies. I know at least six Kaldanas. What? I'm sorry, I believe I misheard, Venric stated, interlocking his fingers with concern. You said you know at least six Kaldanas. It's a relatively common name on Arthur, similar to Tava and Cam for you, Venil. There have got to be a million Tavas here. It makes the choice of president seem terribly uninspired. Hehe, she joked before noticing that we weren't laughing alongside her. Composing herself quickly, she cleared her throat and answered seriously. My uncle, two of my mother's neighbors, and three of my cousins are all named that. Why? Still in shock that Kaldana of all things was a common Koshin name, I took the lead on providing her information. We've found someone working at the branch she would by that name, and there's no record of him on the employment records. We don't have anything confirmed yet, but it's possible that they might be the one behind your framing. Enilas's eyes went wide as her frills fluttered in anxiety. Wait, hold on, do you think that this Kaldana was the one that framed me? Ah, well, I know that both of my cousins and my uncle are on Venil Prime, last I heard, though I haven't talked to any of them since well before the humans arrived, not in person, only quick texts. Are any of them in the medical field? Venric asked. Any of them that you might have bad harvest between? No, not at all. They're all in the medical field, though they're scattered across the planet who knows where. The last one of them I spoke to was my uncle, and that was before I joined the Exterminators 3 years ago, right after the disaster at Dawn Creek. You know, he actually advised I join up with one of the XGC branches instead of going into the office. If I had listened to him, I'd probably be a lot better off. Was he himself a member of one of the branches? Venric pressed further. Yes, but on the sunward side, Enilasi confirmed, I had countered his offer by suggesting he join the office. There are scarce few field medics in the court, and the pay was good. He was working on something regarding a sand flare outbreak, but I can't recall any specifics. I haven't been in touch with him since. My cousins as well, for that matter. That didn't leave us with much to go off of. Considering how common of a name Kaldana was, especially if she referred to names like Kant, that didn't leave us with much of a motive or connection. After all, there's a million Kans out there with supposedly a similar amount of Kaldanas. I was convinced that trying to find a motive should be a secondary priority, so I instead redirected the conversation towards something a bit more pertinent. Thank you, Venilasi. Now we need to focus on obtaining you an alibi. Can you tell us exactly what you did after turning in your coat with the branch inventory? Well, Enilasi started, but she was cut off by the sound of a call tone coming from none other than Venric's pad. That wasn't the most surprising thing about the circumstance, however, as the tune playing wasn't anything like I expected. Rather than some sort of standard tone or even a sound effect of some sort, a compressed version of the Federation's anthem came from his pad in all its low-quality glory. I didn't take Venric as the type to appreciate anything Federation, especially after the revelation of what they did to all the omnivorous species. They raised my ears in surprise at the ringtone, as did Venric. He picked up the pad and stared at it for an uncannily long length of time. Eventually, I noticed that his fingers and ears were twitching erratically and his eyes were unfocused. Unsure of what he reads, I leaned forward to plant myself firmly in his field of vision. Boom, Venric. What is it? He looked at me with a wild gaze and a burning anger unmatched by anything short of Soldalic than self-raged behind his pupils. Through gritted teeth, he answered in such a way that the wool on my neck stood on end, my limp ears threatening to stand on end should they have been able to do so. They moved up the trial.